listen to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast because Rod and Karen are hot.
Your peoples understand it, but to them, you're a failure. Observation and participation was my favorite teachers. When they beat us in the head with them books, it don't reach us. Whether you break dance or rock suede Adidas, or be in the bathroom with your clique smoking reefer, then you know they math class ain't important unless you're adding up cash and multiples. Unemployment ain't rewarding. They may as well teach us extortion. You either get paid or locked up. The principal's like a warden. In a 4-year sentence, mad niggas never finish. But that doesn't mean I couldn't be a doctor or a dentist. Hey, welcome to the Blackout Tips podcast. Your host Rod and
Karen,
and we're in the house on a Monday.
Mm-hmm.
Had to get a little bit of late start. I was on What's the Tea today, so you guys who listen to us and them, you can check it out. You know, had a good time with Nick, Jill, and Reggie. Also, you know, is the day after the BET Awards, so we got to talk about that.
Mm-hmm.
And a bunch of other news and stuff we didn't get to get to because we had such a great conversation yesterday with Jamie from Black Girl Nerds that, you know, I was just throwing out articles left and right, like, oh, let's just keep talking about this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
The official weapon of the show is
the taser.
An unofficial sport,
it's bullet ball.
And bullet ball extreme, and today marks day 558 that Bobby Smurder has been locked up in jail. Mm-hmm. And you know, I like doing the show when it's just me and Karen sometimes because we go through stuff faster.
We do.
We get to talk about more stuff. No offense to any of our guests, you know, but we don't have to interview anybody. We can just kind of go back and forth and get as much said as possible because tomorrow is going to be a recap of Game of Thrones at 6:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time with Mel, aka Beauty Jackson from the Good and Terrible podcast. And, of course, Justin will be here. So full pack week. Okay. All right. So let's just get into different stuff. Should we do the BET recap first or the news first? What do you want to do?
Depends on how detailed you want to be. I mean,
I guess let's just do the BET Awards. Okay, first of all, what'd you think about the BET Awards this year?
Oh, I loved it. I've been enjoying them for a while, for the past few years. The past, what, 4 or 5 years? We normally live tweet the entire show. But this year, like we were saying yesterday, I just hate that they went against Game of Thrones.
Mm-hmm.
Because we basically had to break for an hour and come back. And there's nothing wrong with that, but then we basically watched where we, you know, came in and then went back and rewatched, the hour that we missed.
Mm-hmm.
But overall, it was a very, very good show. I think this is, to me, this is one of the best ones they've had in a while. And I've personally have liked it since Tracee Ellis Ross and,
Anthony Anderson.
Yes, have been hosting. I think that their chemistry is wonderful and great. I think they're a good host. They don't mind being the butt of the jokes, and making fun of other people, but it's more of we are the butt of the jokes. And I think, them two together actually makes a difference hosting the show. I think out of the hosts that they've had over the past few years, they're the best, and I hope they continue to bring them back.
Yeah, I think my favorite host was Free for the BET after party in that damn dress. That's been years ago, but never forget. Okay, people.
And that year that Chris Rock did it was a good one too.
Yeah, but Charlie Wilson, when he performed at the BET Awards in 2013.
Now,
that was one of my favorite ones.
That right there has to be my best BET moment. Like BET Awards moment. Because if you guys haven't seen it, go back and do the clip, because when I tell you that man, I would love to see him live. Because you know how some people have a talent, some people have a gift. I think he has a gift of drawing people in, because when he started performing and started singing, I felt like everybody out their house felt like they was like had front row seats to watch him sing, just like the people there. And it's like he brought everybody in the room and he put on a show now. And the sad part about it is that we appreciate us unlike anybody else, and it's amazing all that talent. And I don't know if he's ever been asked to do any of these other award shows, ever been asked to perform live on any of them.
Yeah, I don't know either, but that's probably my favorite one.
Mm-hmm.
Until this year. This is now my favorite BET Awards ever. It was great. You mm-hmm. know, it was so, I don't know if it's just this year or what, but it feels like Black people have just been, I mean, the last year of Obama, peak Blackitude has been just reached, and everybody is, you know, being unafraid to kind of speak up. And you know, those people who have always kind of consistently not spoken up, those people are still not doing whatever, but
right,
there's been so many brave moments. There's been so many people who refuse to be silenced. There's been so many people who have wrested the spotlight away from white supremacy, if only for a moment. And this has always been a space that we have supported on the show. The BET Awards
right
has always been something that you know, I look forward to every single year.
Yes,
I don't talk shit about the BET Awards. Mm-hmm. I love it. Like I remember once we made as a title of the episode, we made the EBT Awards as like a joke. Like, cause that's how absurd it was to me that people did not like this award show.
Right.
But I stopped calling it that because people were calling it that not ironically. And that's self-hate. That's anti-Blackness to label this award show inferior, while many refused to watch, so they didn't even know what they were talking about.
Right. Hadn't watched BET or the show in years.
And the assumption that it was inferior was really based on the fact that it was Black.
Right.
And it really wasn't much further than that. And a lot of people that claim to be woke and pro-Black and stuff, you know, they shit on stuff when it's too Black. Like, they don't like, you know, too, like, when it's for us, by us, then it must be subpar. Cause there's no way Black shit could be
excellent,
up to standard. And not only is BET Awards up to standard, it's better.
Yes, it is.
It's the one avenue, it's the one place where we don't get disrespected.
Nope.
For our work. Like, it's the place where Iggy Azalea knows not to get on that fucking stage when it's time to call who's the best female rapper of the year. You know, every other place is like, well, she sold the most records, she must be the best. You know, we have a spot where we're like, that's not what this is about. You know, that's not what this culture is. You know, it's a space where, you know, magic happens for us, you know,
right,
where our performers are given those nominations and they're given those accolades that they don't get other places. Mm-hmm. You know, when people talk about boycotting these other award shows, I feel you, that's cool, but also show up at the BET Awards.
Mm-hmm.
Don't just be a voice saying, well, white people aren't recognizing us, or the Academy isn't recognizing us, or whatnot, because I got your back there, and I agree, they
right,
should be recognizing you.
Correct.
And I don't think you're coveting white love or anything. That is your money, that's your job, that's like them not giving you a check when it's time to pay you.
Mm-hmm.
I completely understand. That being said, take a little time out the schedule and show some love to the people that support you no matter what. You know, like when a movie flops that's a Black movie, the only people that went to see it were Black people.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, we gonna be there. Like, so it's so good to see you know, us celebrate it, you know, and to see the inside jokes and all that stuff that come from you know, from our culture celebrated. So let's go ahead and kind of get into what we were watching. Now, first of all, I watched some of the red carpet. I didn't watch it all, you know, cause I feel like, you know, all the red carpet is 2 hours. I don't know half the acts on the red carpet anymore. Like, that's what I learned. I found out who Kent Jones was.
I don't even know who that is.
Although it sounded like DJ Khaled was calling him Kim Jong. Kim Jong, y'all, give it up for Kim Jong. Kim Jong.
Is that where he dropped the mic?
Yeah, he dropped the mic. This is Kim Jong. Hola. Hola, no. She telling me this and telling me that. You say once you take me with you, I never go back. Now I got a lesson that I wanna teach. I'ma show you that where you from, no matter to me. She said, hola, come on, stop. She said, konnichiwa. She said, walk in my French. I said, bazoomara. Then she said, stop, I said. Yeah, that shit was catchy as fuck.
Yes, it was. I was like, I don't know who this little boy is. You know, and one thing about me, particularly being older, because a lot of us are out of the demographics of who they are targeting. You know, we got some people we love, mm-hmm. and, you know, you keep up with music. But I watch just so I can find the one or two people that I'm like, oh, shit, I rock them to next year. Because I'm like, new phone, who this? On most of the artists, like the kids be saying, I'm like, who that, who that, who that? And Twitter be helping me out because I don't be knowing.
Well, people were showing up. Of course, Tracee Ellis Ross showed up in a snakeskin dress.
That yes. was
tight as hell.
Yes.
As I like to call her, Tracee L. Ass Ross. She might be Latino, y'all. It's, Tracee the Ass. Cause, whew, that Lord, that woman is blessed. Diana Ross's greatest hit, as somebody said on Twitter.
Yes, she is.
but she was, you know, and she's so funny, man. Like,
yes, she is.
Like, that's the other part of my crush on her that's just, is that she makes me laugh so much, man. And she's so silly and willing to try everything. And she's also woke, but, you know, obviously she also fine as hell. But, Fantasia showed up, speaking of fine.
Yes, she did. In that dress.
Mm-hmm. In all her country glory.
And all her thickness. Somebody say she is thick as they hold grits.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yes, she is.
She just like I like my grits. Thick, dark, and, well, I guess I've been burning my grits. Okay, guys.
Yes,
sorry about that. But,
thick and buttery.
Yeah, thick, black, chocolate grits. but nah, she showed up and she like introduced her new video where she plays four different characters in jail. It was funny listening to her talk about her man and being in love and stuff when we know about all them shady Instagram antics they had over the years. Like, I don't know if she with the same man or not, but I know she been on Instagram going in, and I remember them kind of getting back together. I don't know if they're still together,
right?
But like, they trashed, she trashed them on Instagram, and then they got back together.
Mm-hmm. Or it might be somebody new, who knows?
I don't know, but I don't blame them. I definitely would have took her back too. And you could tell in the video she had that Letty Mae Daniels lip acting school.
What, she was acting her ass off. And she's gorgeous. Oh, she's a beautiful woman.
Yes, yeah, she is, man. So it was cool to see her get to perform, well, not perform, but get to debut her video. And Janelle Monáe showed up dressed in a white and black zoot suit, like she Malcolm looked, Little in as Detroit Red.
To me, she looked like Beetlejuice.
Beetlejuice, yeah, she did.
Mm-hmm. Ain't that the outfit he had on?
Yeah, it did look like Beetlejuice, white and black like that. Yeah,
she was rocking it though. But that's what I immediately thought.
Yeah. I forget who this lady was, but one woman showed up and she was like, they was like, so who are you wearing? They had this dude that was asking everybody what they was wearing, and she knew her dress, but then he was like, on these shoes? She was like, oh, I got these on my honeymoon at the beach. I don't know who made these. He's like, and what about this hair wrap you got? This is beautiful. She's like, oh, I just did this at home. I was like, I like her. I don't even know who that was. She was just, she's like, I don't know who made these shoes. I got these at on sale at Payless. I don't know.
Yeah, they might as well interview me because them my answers. Well, I don't know, dog. I don't know.
Who made the hair wrap? I made it myself with a bath towel and some Christmas tinsel. Ready to just show up and show out.
I went to Hancock's and Mary Jo's and right. Glued these flowers on.
Right. So that was all good stuff. They played some games with the audience and stuff, but I didn't keep up with all that. Then they started off this show in like literally the most appropriate blackest ass way possible. Beyonce. Like, you start with the dancers marching and the drum beat, and I'm like, who is this and why does this beat sound so familiar? Because they had been fucking talking about who was gonna be there, but nobody said Beyonce was gonna perform.
Did they though?
Nobody even said she was gonna be there.
Nope.
Nobody said Kendrick even.
Nope.
Like, we watched the whole 2 hours and nobody was leaking shit because Beyonce's NDA game is so, like, it's LeBron, right? James,
she's
dog.
Like, y'all better not tell no fucking body I'm about to show up.
She like, listen, if you violate this non-disclosure agreement, I am going kidnapping your children. I'm blowing up the sept. Like,
this yes!
is Like, this is going, I'm letting the mountain loose on you. Like, this is what we doing right now. So nobody say shit. And I know everybody wanted to say shit. I thought Ray J would have blabbed. You know,
I think Ray J was drunk or high. They shouldn't have, somebody should have been with Ray J. I like, Ray J need help.
Ray J was, he was acting like Pookie before
he was crunk.
Before he got discovered as an undercover, narc.
Yes.
He was about to do some fucking, he was about to do some jumping jacks to get them titties flapping.
All right. I was like, somebody please go check on Ray J.
So yeah, that was, so anyway, they star and Beyonce performs Freedom. And I know my first thought was, first of all, the Khaleesi is here. She there. Like, I was shocked as fuck. I mean, cause the opening was so black, the women were in this like African garb and shit that I'm like, so is the Black Panther gonna come on stage?
I know, right?
I think I saw his sister Shuri in the, one of the dresses. Like, who's coming out to do this? And of course it was Beyonce. And all I could say was, she there! Oh! You know, cause I couldn't believe she showed up.
Right, cause everybody talked mess. Talking about she wouldn't come to this little ragged ass show.
Right, they always shitting on her like she don't love her people, dog. Right. Like, it's not like she got a new album out every year, but she has always gone out of her way to make some sort of presence there. Whether it was when she was on tour and basically live beamed in her performance from the tour.
Right.
You know, like, she does always make an effort that, you know, your fave might not. A lot of people fave don't be there. And I ain't saying that to throw shade at anybody, to talk shit about anybody, mm-hmm. but it's a lot of people that don't make that trip every year, dog. You know what I mean? That people that, you know,
never make that trip.
You stand for and they don't make as much money as B, but they don't be there. You know what I'm saying? It is what it is. Everybody doesn't have a project out every year either. But, you know, it's a lot of people that, you know, if they not performing, and if they don't got an album out, you won't see them.
No, you won't.
You know, like, you know, as a matter of fact, I'm not even going to waste time naming names because it's just going to turn into people being like, but. I'm not even saying it to demean them.
Nope.
Just saying I hate when people use it as a slap against Beyonce when every artist pretty much does that shit.
Yes, they do.
You know, I really wish Will Smith and Jada would have been there because, you know, after that shit from the Oscars, man, it would have been nice to see them. At any rate, they danced and it looked like they was running on top of the water. I don't know how the fuck they all ran so hard in that water. I can't even dance in my shower.
Like that. Beyonce was like, I want water. They was like, whatever you want, babe.
These motherfuckers were running full speed in water and stopping on a dime.
Like, what was on the bottom of that tub?
Right.
Like, rubber tracks.
Right. And then of course, like every time I see Beyonce, I have the same feeling that I always have, which is fuck Jay-Z, man. Like, I've never never hated that man a day in my life until he started dating Beyonce. And now I'll just be like, nigga, what did you do to deserve her? Just pure hate, jealousy. He wasn't there, or at least I didn't see him. And of course, she, you know, was getting it, you know, completely. And Kendrick popped out of the middle of the floor.
Out of nowhere.
And blackness overload. The power went out. People credit scores went down. It was crazy, y'all. Everybody woke up and they power bill was in their baby name.
Right, they didn't know what happened.
It was too much black shit happening at the same time. It was too pro black. I looked down, my shirt said Black Lives Matter. I was like, what? When did I put this on? I'm gonna go slap a white person right now. Like, you know?
What's happening here?
Right. I feel bad for people in interracial relationships. You know? I hope Drew's alright. Has anybody checked on Vera White?
Know. Check on him. Be sure he's still tweeting.
That shit was too black too soon. We need a warning, Beyonce. You can't just do that. You and Kendrick rapping together.
And not prepare us.
Right. The hottest rapper that she's rapped with in years. So then, Kendrick just like destroyed it as he is wont to do. I wish they should tour together.
Oh my gosh, I'm not even gonna lie. If they tour together, sir, you're gonna have to get a box from Dookies because I'm going to that motherfucking concert.
Yeah, they should just tour together. Call it the rent tour.
That's right, because you're gonna pay your rent to get in there.
That's what everybody gonna be.
The rent and the mortgage tour.
Right.
The my lights might get cut off tour. That's what that gonna be. that gonna be my car payment might be a few days late tour.
Right. The who needs daycare anyway tour. Mm-hmm. Take your baby to work for a month. Mm-hmm. Something, cause
they're gonna be kids. Y'all gonna be eating peanut butter and jelly sandwiches for a few weeks while mama save her money up tour.
The Ramen Pride tour.
Hell yeah.
That's what you gonna have to do to afford these tickets. Ramen Pride for a year. But
I'll be eating them too.
So they were beautiful together. And as soon as they were done, I was like, yep, can't get better than that. You know, I was like, hopefully BET started giving out church awards right when right when Game of Thrones starts, so I don't miss anything.
Right, because, and the thing is, what was really, really neat was when Kendrick and Bae both started dancing on the track meet water she mm-hmm. had going on back there.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
In unison.
It was amazing.
Buying shit. I was here for all of it.
Like, the only thing, you know, the only reason I would even tune in to the church segment is hoping that, you know, one of them gospel sisters show up, them dresses looking all thick.
Oh, they was thick and,
Mary.
Yeah, them sisters.
But that's the only reason I even watch the gospel segment. I don't be caring.
And the thing is that somebody else bought this up. Mm-hmm. Kirk Franklin won an award. Mm-hmm. And I'm not even gonna lie, I didn't recognize his face. What did he do with his face?
That was him on stage? Yes. I didn't even know it.
Yes, that, I don't know the reason why I recognize him, because they said it was him and his voice, because, you know, his voice, she just have a very distinct voice. And he brought his beautiful wife up there, but I did not recognize his face.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah, I had no idea. So then, MC Light was, of course, the master of ceremonies.
That's her full-time gig, ain't it?
Yeah, when we were on What's the T, man, we were laughing at how often she was sneaking in slang on the way, you know. It's the BET Awards, and it is lit. We'll be right back.
Talking all proper.
Well, we're on fleek here at the BET Awards. Damn, Daniel.
You know somebody wrote that out for her.
Back at it again with the white Vans at the BET Awards.
That'd be me, just reading off a cue card.
I like when she was introducing people. She said Birdman, but she said it like the last name of a Jewish lawyer or something. It was like Birdman. I was like, Birdman? What? 2 Chainz, Birdman. And also, I was like, who? What?
What's happening here? She might have been Bird. She might have been the Birdman lawyer, that cartoon.
Yeah. So then they opened it up with Hamilton, like a Hamilton spoof. Mm-hmm. That was really funny that Anthony Anderson and Tracy L. Ass Ross did.
Yes, and they bought Anthony Hamilton out.
Right, Anthony Hamilton really came out. Yeah, it was funny too. And I know the awards is good because my mama kept calling us during the middle of the awards just to tell us, like, oh, this good. It's like, it is good. So black.
All right, I guess you say, because I ain't live tweeting or posting on Facebook, I call you, you be my timeline. I talk to you, honey.
Yeah, somebody said they wanted Anthony Hamilton to sing the Respect song, but I was like, you can't do that. Birdman sitting right there.
Ain't that true? You better not.
Right, let it go. There was some dude that was dressed like a Dick Tracy villain. I don't know who he was. I called him T.I. because he looked like T.I. But it wasn't. It wasn't T.I. His outfit was a newspaper. Like a newspaper that was wrapped in plastic or something. And I said it was T.I. wrapped in yesterday's news. And everybody all night long just kept telling me, it wasn't T.I. It wasn't T.I. And I said, how do you know his name isn't Terrence Ingram? You don't know. Shut up. Taraji won an award. Mm-hmm. And she came up there in a see-through dress, basically.
Mm-hmm. Like them thick old eggs.
Yeah, Taraji is like that one aunt that brings a flask to family get-togethers, but you know not to eat her cooking.
You better not.
Like she shows up stag every year to the BET Awards, but it's like she's so fine. It's like what is it? It's like, maybe she just don't want a man. I don't know. You know, but she be showing up with all the yams out. Mm-hmm. Drake and Future won an award together. That's not cool because they won an award for like best group.
That's what somebody said. It was like,
I don't appreciate
niggas,
that.
Y'all not a group.
They didn't even change their name. Like at least Jay-Z and Kanye changed their shit to the Throne. Drake and Future was just like, we Drake and Future, the group.
Man, that shit don't count, man. That's bullshit, because they beat out, like, the internet and shit. I was mad.
Right. Come on, dog. All jokes aside, I feel like, my personal opinion, the internet has got stiffed on a lot of awards.
Mm-hmm. I don't like this.
They had literally one of the best albums of this year.
They need to win something.
Right.
And Drake couldn't make it anyway, so why even let him win? He showed up. I think he couldn't make it because he got his black card revoked when LeBron beat Steph and Klay in the finals. So they said, you can't come back until
you win again.
Until a light-skinned person does something real, real, real pro-black, and then you can come back. I finally learned how to pronounce Tinashe.
Who?
Mm-hmm. Tinashe, apparently, is how you say it. Tinashe. I've been calling her Tinashe.
That's the way it looks like it's spelled.
Yeah, it's spelled like that, but that's not how you say it. And I've been calling her fucking Tinashe all this time. Didn't even bother to look it up. Just old and black. Well, baby, your name looked like Tinashe, so I'm gonna have to call you Tinashe. But yeah,
Tinashe, baby.
Tinashe or something like that.
I'll call her Tinashe.
Yeah, Tinashe is her name. So that's how you say it. And they let her perform, and I thought they were gonna cut away from her and go to commercial, but they didn't do that this year. Congratulations, new artists. No more cutting you off after 30 seconds.
Right. We actually got to hear them perform, because they know I'm the hunter. They be singing in the background. We be going to commercial break.
BET was the dirtiest for doing that.
Mm-hmm. I bet you people complained. They was like, hey, dog, you going to put these new artists out here. Nobody going to fucking hear them. They be like, except for the people in the room.
Coming up, Devontae Hines with his hit song, Palo Alto. Devontae Hines hails out of Oakland. And he's da 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 da. And then the person starts singing. I'm like, and then it's like, you got that McDonald's loving. Like, oh, did you just cut his song off? He didn't even get to the singing part.
Right.
Like, he didn't even get to say, like, you introduced him for 20 seconds, let him play a song for 30 seconds, and then you cut, and then it was, why don't you share your nuggets with me? I'm like, damn.
I bet you somebody got on them about that shit. Like, hey, dog, y'all got these new artists that nobody is finding because y'all fucking cut them off.
And then the other theme of the night, other than pro-blackness, showed up, which was every presenter came out and said, nigga, y'all better stop fucking playing around. I know you don't like her, but you better get your ass to that poll and make sure Trump don't win.
Oh, it was not a game. They was like, niggas, y'all better fucking vote.
Terrence J came way out of character and was like, listen, I gotta stop this Black Ryan Seacrest shit for a second and let you niggas know, vote, okay? You saw Brexit, okay?
Come on, dog.
You saw what happened in Britain. Don't be like them. Right. You think it's a damn joke.
They thought it was a joke too. Well, I voted against it. I didn't think the shit was gonna pass.
Right. Then, of course, my boy performed, Designer. Never seen him in Future on the same stage at the same time, but.
Nope, the dude I thought was Panda forever. I was like, damn, Panda got a song about himself, Panda. I thought that literally forever. I just recently found out his name was a goddamn Designer.
Yeah, I'm glad you knew Future and Drake before they came out with Jumpman. Probably think both of them was named Jumpman.
Probably would. You know me. I'm very simple when it comes to it. Like, whatever the main theme is, I stick with that.
Well, Designer performed. And it was off the hook. It was cool. You know, he still couldn't do all his lyrics on his own.
Because don't nobody know what it is.
Yeah, that lip sync going. I forget who won Actor of the Year, but it wasn't Courtney B. Vance. I feel like he got robbed. Because he was the one I was rooting for. And that was a little disheartening, man. because he was Johnny Cochran.
Okay? Yes, sir.
You can say a lot of things, but he was absolutely Johnny Cochran, and for him not to win, I wasn't feeling that at all. But you know, good luck and everything, you know, to him. Hopefully he'll win an Emmy and that'll make up for it. Cause I forget who won Best Actor. Let me look that up real quick. Best Actor was Michael B. Jordan for Creed, I guess.
Probably so.
Yeah, but I don't know, man. And they had Anthony Anderson, Courtney B. Vance, Idris Elba, and O'Shea Jackson Jr. I feel like Michael B. Jordan won, but I feel like Courtney B. Vance should have won.
Mm-hmm.
And Best Actress, Taraji P. Henson, that was the one she won. Kurt Franklin won Best Gospel. That's when we saw him. Dave Chappelle came out and introduced the first Prince tribute, which was Erykah Badu and the Roots. They went earlier for Prince, I believe. But he was looking like Bokeem Woodbine.
He looked just like him, didn't he?
I'm not sure.
Real good.
Yeah, I don't know if that wasn't Bokeem Woodbine. I can't be sure.
I couldn't tell.
But he came in, his voice didn't sound the same.
Mm-mm.
Like that high-pitched Dave Chappelle voice, that shit was gone. I don't know if it's because he was sad or what, but he introduced the Prince tribute. And this one was, who was it, Bilal, who went the fuck off.
Didn't Erykah and them perform, and then it went into him.
Was that how it went?
I think so.
Okay. Well, whenever Bilal got on there, that's when it showed out. Erykah was straight. No shade, no offense. Yeah. But Bilal was the one who stole the show.
Yeah.
He was my second favorite Prince tribute.
Like, I can, man, you can tell that he literally watched videos because he literally sounded exactly like him.
I knew he cared because I could understand the words that were coming out of his mouth.
Mm-hmm.
Normally, I was so sad for all the people that's gonna go buy Bilal albums on iTunes and shit or stream it today, because you was like, oh my God, who is this guy? I've never really heard of him before.
That's me.
And then you gonna go hear him and you gonna be like, oh, I can't understand what he's saying. He doesn't use words. He sounds like an instrument.
Who is this Bilal?
But he came out there and showed the fuck out, man. It was amazing to watch him do. I mean, he even hit the floor.
Yes, he did. And crowd, honey.
Like, he hit the floor. What is this? Oh, okay. Yeah, this is Erykah Badu's part. She wasn't bad, but let me get to Bilal, y'all, because would that be cool? Oh my God. He was so good. He was so good, y'all.
He was singing his ass off.
He went off, man. Oh, like, that set the tone, man. Like, when they said, we got you after that. We saw that. We got you.
Yeah, we saw that bullshit they put out there.
That was so good. Madonna just.
Right. They was like, and they didn't ask no niggas.
Right.
Y'all do know he was a nigga, right?
Well, I think Stevie Wonder went out there, but I'm just saying, Madonna sitting at home somewhere like, this how it's supposed to sound.
Come on, dog.
You know, he was so good. I said, shit, just let him do all the tributes then.
Right.
God damn. And the other thing is, this nigga had on kitten heels.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, okay. Now you think you love an artist.
Nigga, when you as a grown ass man put on some heels for your tribute song,
you meant that.
That's love. Only love could make a nigga get in some heels for the tribute song, okay? Don't just put on heels for anybody.
No.
This nigga had to go shop for heels, yes, in his size.
Yes, sir.
Probably had to practice in the heels.
You know he did. Shit, most women can't even get down to kitten heels.
That's love, man. I don't even know. Like, listen, man. It's people I won't put a suit on if they die.
Ain't that the truth?
This nigga threw on kitten heels, bro. What? How in the world? That man was loved. That man was loved. Mm-hmm. That's gonna be awkward as hell when Chadwick Boseman plays Prince in the biopic, but hey.
and use Bilal's voice.
Yeah, it's gonna be awkward. He probably not gonna use his own voice. He always uses his own voice.
Burr, 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 burr.
Oh shit.
If I was your boyfriend.
Yeah. If I was.
And when doves cry. Scandalous. Talk about you and me. Marvelous. Baby, can't you see? No, you know he don't change his voice for nothing.
I know, he just keep the same voice. He can play all the black people, but we all gonna have the same voice when he play us.
All of us.
In the movie. I don't even know what brought this up. Wood Harris was there for something. Oh no, they showed I want to see this too. They showed there's gonna be a mini series in 2017 for New Edition.
I want to see that.
Yeah, I hope they go through all the groups. I think High Five, I would love to see what got in them. Mm-hmm. ABC, Mint Condition. Mm-hmm. Do them all, BET. I watch them all.
Me too.
But it's gonna be a mini series, and in the mini series, Wood Harris was in it. And
was the daddy.
Yeah, him and Michael Rapaport was in it. But on the low, Wood Harris need to get some type of BET Lifetime Achievement Award in like 2025, because he's been in every black movie ever.
Yes, he has.
He just be in black movies, looking the same, still ain't aged. Just black for no reason.
Black
just,
don't crack.
Just, you know, just above the rim. Just in above the rim.
Yes, he been acting like 30 years, and he looked the goddamn same.
Right. Just, you know, obviously The Wire. You know, the nigga was even an Ant-Man. I mean, Wood Harris. I'll be so happy when I see him, man. He need to get something. Just playing the same evil nigga in everything.
Yes, sir.
Then somebody else came out and introduced the award, and what'd they say? I think it was Tracy. She said, make sure you vote.
Oh, that was the theme of the night, honey.
Mm-hmm. She said, get out there and vote now. Come on. And then she mentioned that she was single, so I guess I still got a chance, you know what I'm saying? You never know how things gonna work out, Tracy. You know, call me.
DM me.
Right? Make me laugh.
Shit, DMB, what you talking about?
No, I eat that booty. But then it was, then Remy Ma came out, and perform with Fat Joe, and they have a new song out. I forget the name of the song. All the Way Up, I think is the name of the song. And it's pretty catchy, you know?
Yeah, and that dress.
Listen, Remy Ma, I see why Papoose waited.
Come on, dog.
I never understood, dog. And I apologize, Papoose. I was like, yo, it's just good that, you know, Papoose don't get enough credit for his black love, by the way. That's enough.
It's real.
Yeah. Like, I hope people mention him when they talk about having black women's back. Because Papoose, that nigga did a bid with his girl. He said, listen, I know what I'm waiting on. And I see you, dog. She got in that dress. I said, man, listen. Like, I think Fat Joe even ended the song with, like, you looking good, Remy. Like, she damn sure was. Like, that second dress was see-through, too. Mm-hmm. Just to let you know, ain't no Spanx under this. It's all me.
Ain't it, though, 100%.
Oh, my God. That's a bad woman, man. So then Jesse Williams got up, and he won an award. I'm trying to think. His award was for, let me just make sure that I get this right. See, best. Nope, not that. Not that. What was it? I want to say it's like humanitarian award or something like that. Which, you know, obviously
he's one of the most just wokest. Like, I think it was, we was talking at lunch and we was talking about how he goes to, he used to get invited on all these shows to talk about, different black, you know, topics like, hey, this kid got shot or whatever.
They stopped that shit.
And, he was so woke, they was like, we cannot be inviting this nigga back.
For real, like they instantly, cause they thought he was gonna be on there with his pretty bright high yellow ass and be like, hey, we talking about the niggas. And he was gonna be like, hey, yeah, I'm colorblind, I'm trying to keep my job. He was like, nah, y'all out here killing folks.
Yeah.
And they was like, don't invite him back.
Sorry. All right, but yes, go ahead. I'm sorry.
They was like, don't invite this nigga back.
Right. He showed up with that hoodie on. They like, where's his suit? And then he started telling white people about themselves, and it was like, you know what? Let's not call him back.
Like, literally, he just stopped being on TV.
There has to be a nigga less woke than this.
That was like, you can act, but we ain't gonna let you speak.
Yeah, Jesse be making the time and shit, you know? Like, oh, I'll be at the interview. Oh, well, it's cool if you busy filming. Nope. I'll find the time. I'll be there live.
15-minute break, I'll show up.
I'm gonna be on y'all ass again. So right. He won his award, and he gave this great speech. Let's see if I can play it.
For his continued efforts and steadfast commitment to furthering social change, we are proud to present such a deserving recipient with the 2016 BET Humanitarian Award presented by State Farm, Jet Williams.
Peace. Thank you, Deborah. Thank you, BET. Thank you, Nate Parker, Harry, and Debbie Allen for participating in that. Before we get into it, I just want to say, you know, I brought my parents out tonight. I just want to thank them for being here, for teaching me the focus on comprehension over career, that they make sure I learn what the schools were afraid to teach us, and also to thank my amazing wife for changing my life. Now, this award, this is not for me. This is for the real organizers all over the country, the activists, the civil rights attorneys, the struggling parents, the families, the teachers, the students that are realizing that a system built to divide and impoverish and destroy us cannot stand if we do.
Listen.
That's when you was like, he about to give a message, huh?
Right about that, I leaned forward in my seat like, okay, it's about to get real. This isn't going to be thanking the agents. And
this is not gonna be that type of speech.
Mm-mm. Promote their new project, you know what I'm saying? Oh, don't forget my show, check it out. Mm-mm. Saturday night set, you know, it was just like,
this is why I won this award.
I mean, he got up there in the all black, you know what I mean? it was like hold up, it's about to get a message, you know what I'm saying?
all right.
It's kind of basic mathematics. The more we learn about who we are and how we got here, the more we will mobilize. Now, this is also in particular for the black women, in particular, who have spent their lifetimes dedicated to nurturing everyone before themselves.
That right there, I was like, okay, getting into that territory where it's going to be think pieced up. You know what I'm saying?
I don't think he cares giving
them black women that credit. You're gonna have a bunch of ignorant ass troll niggas all day up in the mentions.
Yeah, how dare you get these bitches credit for the work that they do every day?
Mm-hmm. But I was very appreciative of it, because you know, a lot of times when the spotlight is on a not black woman, the acknowledgement specifically to black women is almost never there
and ignored.
You know, it's always some like, I did it myself, yes, finally.
Unless you point out your
thank you to my mama and my wife.
Right.
The rest of you whores.
Ain't like, shit.
Right. Like, he was, you know, very specific with the, look, man, and, you know, black women do put themselves last in so many cases. You know, how many of these, like, mothers who get blamed for the state of black society, yet they're the ones who eat last. They're the ones who work two jobs. They're the ones who take care of their kids. You know, when some dudes end up skating on their own responsibilities and their own obligations on fatherhood and shit, we still find a way to point the finger and blame only black women. Like, it's your fault. Not it's your credit. that you are even able to make something out of nothing.
Come on,
that you are left with sometimes when it comes to holding the bag.
Make no way out of no way. Make ends meet when you didn't think was possible.
Right. Like, you took a net negative and made people, and then these people grow up and turn around and they hate you, and it has to hurt. And to see somebody acknowledge the it's not even an opinion, the fact.
Come on.
You know what I mean? It's the fact. Black women are always there for us. So, like, once he said that, I was like, okay, now it's about to go. Because also, this is a room full of entertainers, rappers that delve into, you know, misogyny, that delve into, like, this is, like, this speech is almost like when the religious person wins and they start doing the speech about Jesus and everybody's right. Like, oh, okay, when is this going to be over? So I was like, I was going to be very interested to see the response.
We can and will do better for you. Now.
By the way, that line there, we'll come back to that. Remind me to come back to that. We can and will do better for you.
What we've been doing is looking at the data, and we know that police somehow manage to de-escalate, disarm, and not kill white people every day. So what's going to happen is we are going to have equal rights and justice in our own country, or we will restructure their function and ours. Now,
everybody gives a standing ovation because this shit is so real. And you know, you're watching a person put their life on the line.
Come on.
Like, maybe not their physical, like, they gonna get killed for this, but like, in Hollywood.
Come on, dog. You're going to fucking blacklist in a heartbeat.
This is the place where we all were excited that Chris Rock got the job to discuss the Oscars in a year where there were no black nominees, and he pretty much whiffed, because that's how powerful whiteness is when it comes to your career. You only got but so much leeway. Chris Rock is a man that never shied away from talking about race. Every interview he's talking about it. And even then, in that spot, he had to concede something to white people. You know, it's one of the reasons I stopped looking for heroes and people that to put their careers on the line and stuff, other than being pretty much irrational. Not many people are going to do that. Mm-mm. I just applaud the people who are brave enough to do it.
Right.
And I support those people. But if we're being real, I had to stop expecting it and looking for it, because it is a dangerous stance. And
yes, it is.
As much as I wanted Chris Rock to like show up and just blast whiteness for just 20 minutes and just, you know, and throughout the rest of the show, like, look, y'all ain't shit. This was racist. The result, he had to show up and concede that, oh, okay, well, black people are being overly sensitive. You guys are, you're not bad for white people. You know, it's just, hey, it's kind of funny that this happened. Like, it wasn't a scathing roast of whiteness that I wanted. Not that Jesse's making any jokes, but the point being, I realized at that moment, oh, my expectations are unrealistic, and maybe right. These moments like this can only happen on a black stage in front of black people. Come I don't on. Know, but I just know that when he started speaking like this, I was just like, yo, this could be his career. I don't know, like,
right,
Shonda will keep him with a job, but how many other opportunities are never going to cross his table, never going to get that call to his agent just because somebody's like, yo, I don't want this dude on my set talking like this, you know? Like, this is real bravery.
I got more, y'all. Yesterday would have been young Tamir Rice's 14th birthday. So I don't want to hear any more about how far we've come when paid public servants can pull a drive-by on a 12-year-old playing alone in a park in broad daylight, killing him on television and then going home to make a sandwich.
Now, this one I was like, did Bossy Igby write this? Because this felt like spoken word.
Come on.
Feel like spoken, like I started the rhythmic, like it was almost like a battle rap against white supremacy.
Tell Rakia Boyd how it's so much better to live in 2012 than it is to live in 1612 or 1712. Tell that to Eric Garner. Tell that to Sandra Bland. Tell that to Dorian Hunt.
I love how he brought up some black women who died under police custody as well.
It matters.
Rakia Boyd, who doesn't fit everybody's, you know, respectability description, but right. still lost her life senselessly to police violence. I appreciate him actually saying it because indirectly, shit, I guess directly, a lot of what has happened with people talking about black tragedy has boiled down to the police are attacking our men, our right. black men.
Right, like Mike women Brown. Ain't
you know, like, and it's just, they just named the male victims. Eric Garner, Mike Brown, they got Tamir Rice, Trayvon Martin. It's like, they're attacking us all, dog.
Everybody, like, even the children, everybody getting them bullets, baby.
Right, like women, LGBTQ, black folks, like black people, the entire spectrum of blackness is under attack. They don't, you think they respect the women of our culture but not the men? That doesn't make sense.
Right.
You know, you had a dude that was a fucking serial rapist for the Oklahoma Police Department, Oklahoma City Police Department. Like, we're like, that one, that dude's not alone. Daniel Hoskar, I guarantee
you.
Oh,
dude, it's a lot of other ones that ain't been caught that's been doing this shit for years.
But it's a reason he primarily picked black women to do that too, if not exclusively black women. Mm-hmm. It's because he knew for a fact nobody's supposed to care. I'm not gonna ever get caught with this. So it was like to see somebody at least acknowledge it, because I don't feel like he was pandering or whatever, which, you know, you always, it says a lot about our society if a black man speaks up on the behalf or for or in support of black women immediately, or they're pandering, or you just trying to get some pussy, or, you know, it's
why
always
you just care,
it's right, like it's just impossible that you would actually care about somebody
and be concerned
that put their time into your life. You know what I'm saying? Like, why would you care about that person? You don't have to, technically. Just move on.
Right. You ain't fucking them. Why do I have to fuck them to care?
But it just came across so sincerely.
Now, the thing is, though, all of us in here getting money, that alone isn't going to stop this. All right? Now, dedicating our lives to getting money just to give it right back for someone's brand on our body, when we spent centuries praying with brands on our bodies.
I'm telling you, this guy, he wrote this as a poem at first or something.
He had to, because when I heard that, I was like, well, god damn.
Yeah, and this to the room now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I hope, I mean, it's probably too much to hope, but I hope at least somebody in the room is motivated to do more with their platform. You know what I mean? Because it does say something about our association with consumerism. But, you know, and for the record, I'm not one of those people that comes down on black people for consumerism.
Oh, no.
Nigga, we worked for free for 400 years.
Yes,
of course you want to take a little holiday and spend some shit. But where you spend your money, how you spend your money, what you put your money into, what you use your voice for, what you use your platform for, it does speak volumes, and it does have an impact on somebody somewhere. So, you know, so many black people do, not just black people, but he's talking to black people this time. So don't just say not all black people or only black people, but in general, there's a lot of black people that do feel like freedom is financial. And once you get money, then it's almost like you can leave blackness behind.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can kind of pull the new black shit, you know, the I don't see race type shit. And he's like, yo, don't get money and do that. You know, keep it, you know, don't confuse the two. You're not free because you're rich.
No, sir.
Just to give it right back for someone's brand on our body. When we spent centuries praying with brands on our bodies. And now we pray to get paid for brands on our bodies. There has been no war that we have not fought and died on the front lines of. There has been no job we haven't done. There's no tax they haven't levied against us, and we've paid all of them. But freedom is somehow always conditional here. You're free, they keep telling us. But she would have been alive if she hadn't acted so free.
Come on now.
Now.
Yeah, preaching.
Freedom is always coming in the hereafter. But you know what, though? The hereafter is a hustle. We want it now.
Mm-hmm.
And let's get a couple things straight. Just a little side note. The burden of the brutalized is not to comfort the bystander. That's not our job. All right, stop with all that. If you have a critique for the resistance, for our resistance, then you better have an established record of critique of our oppression.
Listen. Listen. That goes for so many different types of people.
Come on, even some black folks.
Even some black folks, dog, that will sit on the lines, do nothing, and complain about the people that's trying to help while they do nothing.
Right, and they're fighting for your black ass.
Like, that's one of the reasons when we, like I've said it on the show many times, it's one of the reasons when you listen to this show, and they be like, so, Netta did this, DeRay did that. You know, like, Black Lives Matter did this. Why they take the stage from this person? Why they just take the mic? I never go in here and be like, they shouldn't have did that. What was they thinking? Why? Cause my black ass didn't do shit. I didn't get up there and do a damn thing. I didn't plan not one action. I don't get to go back and tell them how to best do their job to bring awareness to the things that affect all of us. Like, that's not that. I think too many people concentrate and focus on that, and they don't do shit. That's all they do is sit back and talk about what the other people shouldn't have done while they benefit from the progress that is made. Yes, you know? So you benefit from the fact that they made black people dying by police violence a campaign issue. That happened because people took that stage. That happened because people had protests. That happened because people bum rushed some of these events. That's what happens. It might not look great, but it looks better than dead people in the street.
Come on now.
It looks better than blood coming out of our bodies. So, like, for me, I don't have anything to really say about that shit. Like, even the people, and it doesn't just go for the new activism, even the older ones.
Even the older ones.
I don't have bad shit to say about Jesse and Al. I know that a lot of niggas think that that is, like, their real nigga litmus test is, if you can shit on them, then you real, like, no, I don't have anything bad to say about them either, guys. Cause why? Cause they put their life on the line when I didn't. You know what I mean? They did shit. Like, if activists want to criticize each other, they want to beef, all that shit, that's fine. They can do whatever they want. But in general, yo, I've never marched for, somebody. I've never organized that. I've never organized giving money to somebody. I've never organized lawyers for somebody. I've, like, to sit back and then reap the benefit of these things while bitching and complaining about these people.
Come on, dog.
Hitting them up on Twitter. Where were you when this happened? Man, like, so I never critique that shit, but he's right. There's a lot of people who aren't even critical of the factors that lead to the desperation that cause people to take desperate measures. You don't say shit. You just think that's the way it's supposed to go. And then when somebody makes an act, when they go, hey, I'm holding up this sign in protest, I'm going to ask Hillary Clinton to her face about super predators. When that shit happens, you go, well, that was rude. Why'd they do that? They shouldn't have said nothing to her. When it's like, but where were you at when they was throwing niggas in jail then? Like, what's supposed to change? So, I don't know. Anyway, and that's really more for black people, because honestly, there's a lot of white people that do that shit, and I'm really at the bottom of my hope for white people, where I'm just like, I don't expect you to care, you know.
If you have no interest in equal rights for black people, then do not make suggestions to those who do. Sit down. We've been floating this country on credit for centuries, yo. And we're done watching and waiting while this invention called whiteness uses and abuses us, burying black people out of sight and out of mind while extracting our culture, our dollars, our entertainment like oil, black gold.
I especially like when you said this invention called whiteness. Love that.
Ghettoizing and demeaning our creations, then stealing them, gentrifying our genius, and then trying us on like costumes.
But that's the truth, though.
Oh my god, like that is amazing, because he's, you know, white people do get credit in a lot of spaces for adopting black culture, and then they pull the I'm not part of this culture. Right. You know, like, I have no responsibility to it. It's one of the reasons I don't understand when people shit on Macklemore, because he's one of those people that doesn't want the credit, quote unquote, for, like, he's one of those people, like, how do I make my presence the least harmful I can? Now people are never gonna fuck with him. I get it. He's white, and that's enough for some people to be like, fuck him forever. And also it can be a bit annoying and preachy to people that already know all this shit. But I appreciate people like him, because he's in there with some concern for the space, for making sure that he's not there to tread on and, you know, to contribute to the negativity. But there's a lot of people that come through, use and take what they want from us, and then whenever something happens, they don't claim us. So,
right,
you know, I'll get the ass injections and the lip injections, right, and I'll try to figure my body like a black woman. But then when a black person dies, I'm not gonna tweet about it. I'm not gonna say anything about it on my platform. That's black people's problems. Why would I ever say anything? Why would I even step into, why would I even say it's wrong? Why would I even retweet somebody? Why would I even acknowledge it in a song? That's not my place, you know?
Right. And the thing about costumes, you know what? When they get old, you get rid of it. And that's one of those things. He basically saying you put it on until something else, another fad comes along. And a lot of times now, black people, all you do is go to other groups of brown people that look just like us and steal from their shit too. And it's one of those things where when it's not convenient for you, you throw it down.
Yeah, you outgrow a costume.
Yeah, you do.
You outgrow a costume. That's what happens. You know, you go back, you can always, it's one of the reasons we have a lot of distrust between white people that occupy black spaces, is because we have a history of watching white people return to whiteness.
Come on, the second it get hard, the second it get difficult, the second you get chastised, the second why, that people ask you, why are you a nigga lover? Why are you supporting this group? All of a sudden, it's a runaway and flee, or, oh no, I ain't got no time for that. And a lot of this stems back into history. It goes really, really deep. That's why a lot of people have problem with white feminism, TM, because we was rah, 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 and then it was like, hey, white women, y'all don't get y'all rights. It was like, oh, I ain't got no time for you niggas, and that's been a division ever since.
I mean, I'll even say, like, even not from white people, like, you're a nigga lover, but from black people who just go, you fucked up.
True.
You know, look at Justin Bieber. He was such a part of black culture until he got called out. Then he just retreated to whiteness. Like, I'm not black anymore. Fuck right. This. You know, a guy caught saying the N-word and shit.
He cleaned up real quickly, didn't he?
Yeah, I mean, to some effect, is why I really still respect Eminem. Like, that dude got caught, found out that a long time ago, he said the N-word in the song, and he never went, okay, well, now I'm on some white shit. Fuck you, niggas. Bye. Like, he stuck around and took that ass whooping, basically. Like, everybody berated him. Rappers was calling him out. It was in the source. Like, it was basically almost a character assassination, because at the time it was 10 years removed, and people were like, nope, we just found out you got to pay for this shit. And you know what? He stuck around. Like, it wasn't, well, now I don't do hip hop. Now I'm Eminem the country singer. Like, it was like, nah, I'm still just going to be, this is where I belong. Like, I fucked up. I apologize, and I just got to take my lumps. Justin Timberlake, you know, a dude that, black culture was loving and accepting of, that dude, you know, and them Timberland beats he was on, and, you know, the cornrows he was rocking and shit like that. Black culture was, for the most part, like, okay, you want to be over here with us? Cool. You cool, Justin? You know, then Titty Gate happened, and he was like, I'm going back to white. Bye, guys.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this has been nice, but I got white shit to do. You know, it happens.
Before discarding our bodies like rinds of strange fruit. The thing is that just because we're magic doesn't mean we're not real.
Mm.
Thank you.
And shout out to Deborah Lee too, because she catches hell every year at this event.
She does, don't she?
They, and I don't know.
Constantly criticize her.
I legit don't know what the problem is people have with her at this point. I don't. Like, how many more years she got to keep putting this show on, you know, on this network, as a woman, as a black woman, and catching hell from black people? I, like, legitimately, yeah.
I don't know what the problem is.
And all jokes aside, the shit you would have never got from goddamn Bob Johnson.
Yeah, she showed up and got rid of BET Uncut, and I remember being like jokingly being like mad, but looking back as an adult, it's like that was the right shit to do. You know, to move that fucking network forward, certain shit needed to go. You know, it's hard to take it serious when the gospel show comes on right after the jack off hour.
Ah!
You know, so it was kind of, you know, I don't know, I maybe somebody will write in and let us know, but I legitimately don't understand the issue with Debra Lee, and it's been quite some time at this point.
Yes, sir.
I think she inherited a BET that was much different and much more puerile, and she matured that shit. Anyway, man, great job, Jesse Williams. I know what I was gonna say. The only thing about this speech is there's a point where he says that we're gonna do better and we're gonna return that love from black men to black women. Mm-hmm. I couldn't help myself. My first thought was how? You know what I mean? Like when are niggas gonna do that? Because it feels kind of hopeless.
Come on,
you know what I mean?
From a woman's perspective, yeah, it really, really, really does. There are men out there that truly, truly love blackness, and they love black women, and they love everything about us. But it just the way, as a woman, the way you look on social media, it's like that number is almost far and few. Mm-hmm. It's like the hoteps are the ones with the loudest voices. Like, they're the one constantly hitting up your timeline. They're the one constantly fighting and beefing with people. They're the one constantly telling you ain't shit. They're the one constantly telling you it's your fault, that everything that happens in the black community is your fault. And it's one of those things where it could be very frustrating, because I think that those men need to actually be called out. And that's very hard to do, because you're asking men who normally wouldn't say anything to speak up. And a lot of times that's very hard, just to keep this real, because you're going against the grain. You're going against the brand. And then, you know, it's kind of like what you said with Jesse. The moment a black man comes up and be like, hey, dog, that's not right, all of a sudden you become the target. You know, all of a sudden, you know, it's like, why do you care? You ain't fucking her. Why do you care? She ain't your mother. You know, all of a sudden you have to end up a lot of times physically fighting dudes if the situation gets that far, just because you're like, hey, dog, what you're doing isn't right, and what you're doing is detrimental to just the community at large, you know. And it's one of those things where the sad part about it is that there are a lot of broken men out there, and that's something that people don't want to address. There are a lot of broken men out there, grown-ass men, they're broken, and a lot of their brokenness starts from childhood. A lot of them have women issues that starts from childhood that never got addressed, never got corrected. They didn't go to therapy. They didn't talk about it. Everything can't get prayed away. You can't lay hands on everything. Sometimes you actually need help. And there are a lot of grown-ass men, but if you really get down to it, there are little boys. They're children on the inside. And a lot of grown men has the love of children inside of them. Because if you was a grown-ass man, your love would be outside of a six-year-old. The way people think, I go, well, goddamn, you have the same love my niece does. When is your definition of love going to grow and change? And when are you going to understand that the same women that you're talking about and you're bashing and you're beating and you're raping and you're abusing and you're talking shit about will turn around and hold up signs and protest on your behalf and stand on the streets and cry in the streets and pick up the blood when you get shot and go to the offices and protest and be at these same women that you turn around and you defile their bodies and do all these types of things to them, they'll still turn around, look you in your eye and say, I love you. And black women's love is unconditional. And sometimes I think a lot of men have a tendency to forget that. They have a tendency to forget how strong and how deep black women's love is for black men, because, you know, statistics shows that most black people marry other black people. You do have people that do get married outside our race, but most black people marry other black people. And out of that number, most black women marry black men, you know. And it's one of those things where for me, it becomes very frustrating, you know, when I look and I just see all the hurt and all the pain. Because when you see people do these things, you have to solve a lot of problems. My personal opinion with black men, you got to get to the root of the problem, because if you don't kill the root, it's never going to go away. And the root of the problem, a lot of times, I'm not trying to find it, is love. That's a lot of people just looking for love. They're looking for love. And a lot of times a lot of men equate pussy with love. They equate lust with love. They equate fucking you with love. They, you know, that's not love, y'all. You know, your definition of love needs to change. That's not love. You can fuck anybody. You can do anything you want to when it comes to that, but that does not replace that love. And a lot of men are looking for it, and a lot of men don't know how to find it, and a lot of men don't want to talk and don't want to express themselves. And also, I think, too, in my personal opinion, it all stems from the masculinity that black men are taught. Black men aren't taught to express themselves. They aren't taught to show their feelings. You got emotions, two emotions, mad and anger. Them the only two emotions that most men are taught to have, you know, from a little boy. You know, boys don't cry. You know, from a little boy, man up. From a little boy, don't be soft. You know, but what you do is you teach this child to bottle up these range of emotions that women are allowed to tap into, you know, because you are a human being. Yes, you're a man, but you do have feelings. You do have this range of emotions. There's happiness, there's sadness, there's anger, there's bitterness, jealousy. Men should be allowed to feel these things and still be considered a man. And I think we live in a society where if you don't quote unquote live to this definition of what people consider manhood, you're less of a man. But that's not so, because my thing is, that's why a lot of men, my particular opinion, turn around and pop a woman in the face, because they don't know how to deal with their anger. They don't know how to express it. They don't know how to talk about it. So instead of talking to her and sitting down with her and telling her how you feel, you punch her in the eye, because that's all you've been taught, because that's what you've seen your daddy do. That's how you see other men treat your mama. So you think that this is a way of showing you love, or this is a way of expressing myself, when it's deeper than that. And I really, really hope that more men, my personal opinion, go actually get the help that they need. But that's a personal journey, and everybody's not willing to turn a mirror and look at themselves and going, there's something wrong within me, and how can I fix it? It's an internal battle. And that's something that most people aren't willing to do, because the hardest thing to fight in the world is yourself.
Yeah, I think also, it's interesting, because even in your answer, it turned into how men are kind of the victims of this shit. But it's funny, because, and maybe it's because I'm a man, and I think, you know, women, black women love us so much sometimes, many times to their detriment.
Mm-hmm.
They see so much, they have so much empathy towards us.
Yes, sir.
That even in discussing this, the focus turns back to how, okay, so these men are hurt and they're this and they're that. But that's, to me, that doesn't, in this answer being love and to give them love and to show them love, I mean, even if it's true, that's just more work for black women to do.
That's true.
And that's why when he says, like, we're going to do better, I'm like, how? Because, you know, and I don't really, I'm not even looking to women to answer that question, to be honest. Don't email me in with your answers. Honestly, this is just a discussion for the show,
right?
Because the answers are going to be wildly varied and emotional and probably not actionable. But I don't know how he can be so sure that black men are going to learn to do better and reciprocate even somewhat to what we've been given. You know, there's a lot of black men that will show love to like their mom or
right.
their, you know, relatives or shit, but then romantically they will not return that love to black women. I'm not saying it's every man. I'm not even saying it's the majority of black men.
Right.
Not that marriage is necessarily the best indicator of returning love to somebody romantically, but 25% of black men marry outside of our race. That doesn't, you know, and 12% of black women. So basically 88% of black women who get married will marry a black man.
Mm-hmm.
So, whereas 75%, for black men will marry a black woman. You know, disparity switch between races in America and all the time and stuff. I'm not
saying that that's necessarily, like, by the way, not saying that's the best indicator. There's a lot of black people that are in interracial marriages that still love their people.
Right.
Like, as long as you're not sacrificing that, you're fine. I don't care.
Right. But the, love your people.
But the people that harbor this resentment towards our women and see our women as, like, burden, or see our women as adversaries, it's a prevalent attitude. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't have the hope Jesse does. I don't know where you even get it from, you know, because I've had these conversations. I've hung out in these rooms. I've talked to these people. You know, these are my people. These are the faces of me looking back at me, and they're saying some of the most repugnant shit you can say about people that birthed us. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. about people that care about us, and I don't know what an answer is. I think about that question every day. I don't know. You know, I hope something happens. You know what I mean? Like, culturally, we need a shift.
Yes, sir.
You know, and I mean, we need a big shift. Like, we need it to, like, almost be not cool to be a misogynist hotel piece of shit ass nigga.
Come on.
Like, we need that to be the uncoolest shit ever. We need to be able to mock those people. You know, like, we need to be laughing at this idea that of people who come at our women with negativity and want to silence them and want to make them submissive and want to judge them and tell them what to do. I don't know how to do it, but we need it. I don't know, like, that's the thing that came across to me the most, because there's people that are lining their pockets off of suckers, man. Like,
yes sir,
black men that are legitimately being suckered, you know, like hustlers, people that they go on their shows and they spout this anti-woman, anti-black woman specifically shit, and niggas eat it up. Mm-hmm. And they give make these people line their pockets, and these people are certified hustlers. They're not, you know, Steve Harvey is a hustler. He don't care about you, you know what I mean? He just cares as long as he can get his money, you know. And I know it's mostly women that buy his books, but the people that show up to his shows and buy his tickets and shit, those are men who want to be reinforced the shit, like, it's okay to cheat on your woman, and if you cheat it's her fault, you know, like that kind of shit. And he, you know, but he's seen as somebody that is relaying this truth that nobody else will say. These dudes that call black feminists negative names, like Negro bedwinch and shit, I see them. I don't know how you stop them. It needs to become the most uncool shit ever. Like, nigga, you whack. Don't do that. You know what I mean? Like, it would take a reforming. And I do think something you said hits home, because I always credit it back to my father. And I'm not saying this is like, oh, black men that don't have fathers can't relate. I'm not even saying that, because a lot of people, you can have a shitty father and it'd be just as fucked up, if not more fucked up than not being with your father. I'm not trying to pull that card, but I can only speak for myself. That's why I learned it. I watched my dad love my mom, and I was like, okay, so that's the thing to want. That's the way to be a man. That's the way to handle shit. When you have conflict, you work through it. You don't just give up and walk the fuck out the house. You don't just leave your kids behind. There's a responsibility to being a man. And being an adult, more importantly. But in this case, since we're talking gender and we're talking about men and women in our community, it's a responsibility to it. You know? Because no matter what happens, you're going to have some black-ass kids, man. If you procreate with any person on this planet and you're black, in America, your kid black. That's the quote unquote rule. Okay, that's what you deal with.
Regardless if you like it. You don't get to
opt. Yeah, unfortunately, white supremacy will not let you opt in and out of that shit. Mm-hmm. Okay, you don't get to be like, today I'm white. Half of 365 days I get to be white. Half of them I get to be black. Mm-hmm. So you're still producing blackness into this world. And if you hate half of blackness because of their gender, or because of their sexual orientation, because you don't know sexual orientation in your child, you're damaging somebody. And even if they're, let's say you have all boys, you are still putting that mindset into those boys. And then they go for it and they spread the same bullshit.
So I don't know the answer. You know, it's incredibly frustrating, man. Mm-hmm. That's probably the best way I can say it. It's incredibly frustrating to hear and to see people, cause you know, he got backlash for the speech. Yeah, on Twitter and shit, it was niggas that couldn't wait to prove him, like, when he was like, we will do better. Niggas like, nope, we won't. What we won't be doing is better.
We gonna still be ain't shit.
It was a whole bunch of hating ass Terrell Jones. You know, people tried to turn it into light skin privilege shit. Now look.
Oh Lord.
Look, I'm not saying light skin privilege ain't real. Okay. I don't, and to be honest, I really don't care to discuss it in this context. Every once in a while some shit happens, and you know what, fuck the think piece, fuck your academia bullshit, I don't care, it ain't relevant to this moment, because you're using it to do your distraction and to dismiss. You're not using it to actually have a real conversation,
right,
about the impact of the man's words or the statement that he was making.
You're derailing it.
You just want to make us talk about something else,
right?
Fuck that shit. Okay, that statement was so real. Steph Curry, Clay, Drake, you can all come to the BET Awards next year. That's how real that shit was. Okay, mm-hmm. It balanced out the LeBron James force. It was that powerful of a message. But we need more people like that. We need more people to use their platforms in this way, you know, and not just for black women, but we're talking about black women right now, but our LGBTQ people, like, mm-hmm. You know, our children, we need people to stand up that aren't just here in it for themselves. Cause I don't know what's gonna happen to this man's career. But it's a reason it was moving. Cause you were like, this could fuck up his whole career. I don't know. Mm-hmm. It's like a 2016 Harry Belafonte. This might be the only thing we know this nigga for 20 years from now. Okay? You know what I mean? Niggas know Harry Belafonte for that banana song and activism. You know what I mean? Yep. That's Harry Belafonte might be the best fucking tap dancer on the planet. Well, I'll never know. Cause it just, once he started being woke, niggas was like, white people was like, no more parts for you, bro. You not showing up on the set with fucking picket flags. I don't know what you into. Okay. We just gonna give this part to somebody that won't say shit. So at any rate though, the culture needs to change, man. I don't know how else to express it, man. I hope the artists that were in that room take it seriously.
Me too.
Because maybe they had a power to change it. And I'm not even a person that believes art can just, like, immediately change people. But maybe something, like, an alternative. You know what I'm saying? When our most wokest artists are still kind of like, well, black women be out here looking for groupies and shit. I mean, look, you know, trying to be groupies and shit. When the people we look up to and respect, you know what I'm saying? Like, some of my favorite artists, as woke as they are, they still have like these deplorable moments where you're like, damn, that's not how we can talk about women. You know what I mean? When, like, mm-hmm. I love Talib Kweli and I love Mos Def, but Brown Skin Lady, while that's a dope song, it's really got its heart in the right place, but then it's like, you know, it starts getting into this what you need to wear, this what you need to do, start telling women what they got to do. And it's like, who the fuck are you, man? How many kids you got? How many marriages you been in? How many relationships you in? How many people you done cheated on? How many of these white girls you fucking? Like, how are we, like, you can't pull both of those at the same time. You know, like, this dispensing advice from the top of this hill only because you got a dick? How can you pull that move? You know, like, you have to take in to give out. Like, you have to take in some of this shit that you're spitting out for yourself. Mm-hmm. You know, all this be submissive shit. Nigga, you don't even go to church. Be submissive to who? To what? You know what I mean? Like,
right.
What people supposed to submit to, my dog? Like, you be up in the club every Saturday and Friday. Who you talking to about some submission? You know, like, it's the hypocrisy of it all.
Right.
You know, it's fucking, it's maddening. And like I said, I don't talk about it often because, one, you get in these spaces and you get a lot of this, nigga, you just trying to get some pussy, man. This nigga just patronizing, man. Look, you know, this nigga just wants some followers or some shit. Meanwhile, when niggas go on Twitter and say women is bitches and hoes and the black women are mean and that's why I don't fuck them. Them niggas get followers and retweets and by the crowd, but nobody says they doing that. That's real, huh?
Right.
That's the only thing that could be real, huh? Like me saying you love black women, that can't possibly, gotta be some trick up your sleeve, you know? And I know so much hurt has been done to each other at this point. I'm sure there's a lot of black women that believe that.
Yes, sir.
You know, I'm
yes,
sure, sir. Like, I know when, on this show, when we talk about these things, there'll be black women that write in to you specifically, even if I said it, it'll be like, you know, this is why I appreciate you, Karen, cause da 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 da. Cause they not, cause it's just like with whiteness and black, white people that truck in whiteness. At any point, I could opt out.
Come on now.
At any point, I could just be like, you know what? I don't fuck with black women no more. I don't care. I'm going back to not caring. At any point, I can just decide.
Your ass away.
Right. I don't want to be into this no more. It's not cool. It's not trendy anymore.
I can't opt out. My vagina ain't going nowhere. I cannot opt out. These ovaries are here to goddamn stay.
At any point, you can just opt the fuck out. And so there'll never be trust between some of us. You know what I mean? And I respect it and I understand it. I'm not even saying this shit because I'm like, I hope all the black women love me. I literally think this is just the right shit to say. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is just how I feel. I could walk out tomorrow and black women be like, man, fuck Rod, I don't even like that nigga. And I'm still gonna be like, yeah, it's still not right how niggas treat black women. It's still not right the way that the shit that we expect black women to go through and to take from us. And then be thankful for it. You know, like, so it's kind of ridiculous. And I don't know, like Jesse Williams said that, and I just hope we find a way, you know, to make it happen. I don't know how, you know, a lot of these people need to show their kids, not just how to be like a co-parent and not just how to, not just an example of like, I take my kid and pick him up every weekend, or I take, you know, like I take her to get ice cream. I'm talking about, you need to show them how you love and respect somebody every fucking day, because that lesson gets picked up. You know, I know it's a lot of people that's just not together. Like, y'all can make it work for whatever. That's unfortunate. People get divorced. All kinds of shit happens. Mm-hmm. But the love and respect that you have for another human being that is half of your kid, if we could show that every day, keep some of that negativity out of it, maybe these kids can learn to not spread that shit into the world with the negative resentment, man. I have cut people out of my life. That's it. Like, this ain't gonna work. You know what I mean? There's people that used to come on this show. I don't fuck with them anymore. You know, it is purposeful, because I don't want that negativity on my platform in my life. You know, like, these are the things you have to do. I hope more people do them. That's all. But I appreciate Jesse's speech, because
yes, sir.
That's what it made me think about. You know, I feel like it's a challenge, and I hope people take it, man. You know, the most the coolest shit when we met our fans. Other, you know, obviously it's great meeting all the beautiful people, all the sisters, all the brothers, all this. That, you know, and I really appreciated that we were able to have that group of people and nobody fucked it up. Mm-hmm. You know, we didn't get back to Charlotte, and then the next day people was like, you know, someone was being a dick, and I had to be like, oh God, no. You know, I'm glad everybody just hung out and had a good time, just, mm-hmm. you know, fellowshipped and whatnot. But the coolest shit was, you know, the handful of black dudes that came up was like, yo, it was because of you and the way you express your love for your wife and your people that inspired me.
Yeah. That got to me, you know, because there were people that told me that, and I was like, wow.
Yeah, you know? People were telling Karen, because you love yourself, it spoke to me about loving myself and about the journey I went through. That's the shit that matters. We have a lot of fun on this show. We make a lot of jokes.
Yes, sir.
Interspersed with some serious commentary and whatnot. But to know the product that we're putting out makes that feeling happen in people is so important.
And it's worth it.
And, you know, shout out to Jesse Williams, man, because that was beautiful, man. You know, and I hope he don't lose no parts. I hope he works for Shondaland in some capacity for the rest of his fucking life.
Me too.
You know, like, we'll have to start the GoFundMe if Shonda ever get itchy and kick him off or something. But I appreciated him for speaking up with that platform that he had, because, you know, as always, as black men, we don't have to.
Mm-mm.
You know, a lot of people took that stage before and took all the credit or just, you know, whatever. So it was cool to see, man. And I hope it encourages people to walk that kind of path, you know, to not put as much negativity into this world as people have been for centuries at this point. You know, like, I get so much flack where people are like, oh, you a, this nigga a feminist, or this nigga, he always talking about them women and shit. But you know what, dog? Like, when it comes to our intra-racial relationships, niggas are the police. Men are the white people.
Yes, they are.
This, like, we are the brutalizers. We do the fuck shit. If somebody, like, the same way you want white people to turn to other white people and be like, yo, this is fucked up, don't do this, that we should be doing that to each other. You know what I mean? Like, that's real love. That's real love isn't going along for the fucking group and just doing everything the group says. Real love is telling somebody like, hey, don't holler at that woman in the middle of the fucking street,
right?
Okay, it's not impressing me, and it, like, I can see she's beautiful from here. We were having a conversation. Let's just continue having our conversation, dog.
Right. And hollering at her and making her feel uncomfortable.
Right. Like, think about somebody other than yourself.
Right.
You know, like that shit, you know, it's a harder, lonelier, quote unquote, road to ride, but I'm no victim. I'm no, like, this shit ain't no real sacrifice. I really don't like people in general that much anyway. So the less the better. But yeah, I'll fucking lose a friend or acquaintance over some shit like that, you know? Before we move on, it reminded me also, I remember when I worked at the Y, and I monitored the gym, and every week we had a Zumba class. And part of my responsibilities became, for the Zumba class, was to wait outside the fucking door and tell men to move on. Cause there was a little window panel in the door and you could look in there and see the women working out. These are like middle-aged women getting off of work, trying to stay in shape, dancing to a little bit of Zumba. You know, this wasn't stripper pole dancing. This is just Zumba, just dancing around.
One, two, three, four.
Right. And I would have to every single week say, hey man, you can't stand here and watch the ladies, guys. You can't. And this wasn't all black men, so this isn't a race thing, this is just a gender thing, real quick. And I would have to, and my job became indirectly to be the bouncer.
Right.
Security. To this day, there are women who still speak to me because I did the job good. You know, one of the instructors, she's, every time she sees me, she stops and comes over and talks to me, because for that bit of time, I had to be like, hey man, can you move? Can you do this? You know, and I hated that shit. Right. I hate it. I still hate it. Part of the reason I quit that job is because I hated it. It was uncomfortable. I had to come over to fucking strangers.
Grown ass men.
And be like, hey man, sir, can you take your dick out your hand? You know, like, I had to be like, you know, I had to get in arguments and altercations with people sometimes. Dudes like, I call the police. I call your manager. I give money to this wife. How dare you? You know, and I'm like, sir, how dare you sit in this fucking bench knowing these women are uncomfortable with you staring at them?
Right.
And I'm the weirdo for saying get out, right? I'm the weirdo for you making me do my job.
You have no fucking reason to be here. We're not here for you to goddamn gargle at us.
Right. So it was, but the point being, I can quit the job.
Right.
The people that go to the class, maybe they can quit going to the class, but in general, that's just every day for them being a woman and wanting to go to the Y and work out. That's just every day for them.
Right.
I have to do it one or two times a week. That's Monday through Friday for them.
Right. And the thing is also something else. I don't know about all Y's, and I didn't think of this till after the fact. They remodeled some of the bathrooms at that particular Y, and one of the larger bathrooms actually has a full-fledged gym in there. It has, like, equipment. Yeah. It has, like, everything in there, because someone would come to actually do everything in there, shower, and then leave. Like, they don't even work out in the main area.
And the men's locker room doesn't have that. And they
that has had to happen because of the adjustment to be made, because men are some lecherous motherfuckers. Like, that's what we are. You know what I'm saying? Like, as a, like, historically and now in context, that is what we are and what we do. The acceptance of that is where we lose. We don't have to accept that.
Right. And
you know, we don't have to, like, too much of this is just like, well, that's just how it is. Yo, how it is isn't how it has to be, dog. Like, the idea that, cause we all have that, like, once you are with a woman or a woman you care about, you all have the same fucking thoughts. I hope she makes it to the car in the parking lot. I hope nobody right. fucks with her at the gym. I hope when she goes to the store by herself, she's okay. I hope when she gets gas and no niggas tripping at the gas station. Like, that is the thoughts that we have because we know how men are, cause we are men. And to try to change, and I'm sure it's better than it was in 1600 or some shit, but to try to change shit, it seems like so fruitless sometimes, because motherfuckers don't want to change because it benefits them,
right,
to have society this way. And I don't know, like I said, when he said we'll do better, the only thing I think is, how do I convince niggas that this isn't good for us either?
No, it's not.
Like, this shit hurts us too. Even for self-interest, we can be better, more complete human beings if we leave the shit behind. Anyway, sorry. Back to BET Awards. Great speech by Jesse Williams.
Yeah, I about to say, we'll go through and then we have to go back and recap that out we missed.
I got it. I got everything. I thought of this. I think at this point, Janelle Monáe performed, and she had the assless chaps on.
Yeah, and I was like,
now, she didn't let the cheeks fully hang out. Like, it was some trickeration going on with them pants, but I appreciated the effort.
Yeah, and the thing about Janelle, her moves were there, like, she was getting it. Now, as far as the actual singing, that's a whole nother story. But her moves were there. She was killing it.
And Anthony Anderson came out, and he had assless pants on for real.
Yeah, like,
and he twerked.
Like, real assless pants.
He'll do anything, like, for a laugh.
Yeah, I was like, oh, so them your real ass cheeks, doll. Okay, this is what we doing.
Yeah, and I forget who performed after that, but at the end of the performance, they had a shirt on that said, "Don't Trump America."
Oh, Usher.
Usher, yeah, Usher performed.
Yeah, Usher think he slick, he dim the lights. Nigga, we know you old and can't move as quick.
Karen will forever get on this nigga for not being able to dance no more.
No, you almost 40.
Oh my God. All right, so...
I ain't hating on them.
I just like that so many black celebrities were supporting Hillary without saying it, because everybody's like, girl, I guess I'm with her.
Yeah, I guess, like, that's what we voting for.
Everybody was mad the vote. Like, nobody was truly like, yeah. Everybody was kind of like, listen, we just don't want Trump.
They was like, don't let him win.
Right. None of them was endorsing Hillary. It was all anti-Trump shit.
Right.
So then, you know, that's what we had to go away for. Then we came back. We went away for an hour and we came back, right?
This is when we came back.
And when we came back, Sheila E. was performing, I believe, for the tribute for Prince. And she was amazing.
Yeah, Sheila E. put on the show.
Yeah, I was like, you can end the show right there. And when they came back, they pretty much did wrap it up. It was like, okay, the end. You know, then we watched that hour that we missed. Okay. And apparently Alicia Keys performed. So they knew Game of Thrones was on. So they knew people wouldn't be watching.
And I'm not trying to be funny. I was so confused during her whole performance.
You know what, man? God bless her heart.
Because she was standing there with 45 keyboards, the guitar, it was kind of...
She pushed a keyboard over at the end.
Yeah, and when she pushed that keyboard up, I was like, who gonna pay for that keyboard, ma'am?
I'm like, are you mad at the keyboard? It's not the keyboard fault.
Right, and I was looking like, and I guess, like I said, because we own this piece of equipment, I was like, oh shit, she breaking chords.
I feel like I'm just a songs in A minor Alicia Keys fan.
Yeah,
it's like, after that, she pretty much died for me. After she stole Swizz Beatz, it was a wrap.
Her first album is, all jokes, that's her best.
It's brilliant.
Album.
Her first two albums are pretty good.
Right. After that,
the first one is brilliant. The second one is pretty good.
And then for me, I can't speak for everybody, but it just wasn't ever the same again. I don't know what happened.
And I don't know if her strength of her voice is not the same, but now all you get is like a high, airy singing from her.
Yeah. Jennifer Hudson sang Purple Rain.
Yeah, she...
And she was the guitar.
She sang Purple Rain.
She was the guitar, because she was hitting notes that ain't even in Purple Rain. It was just like... That's not how Prince sang it, but you do you, ma'am. She's like, I'm gonna sing Prince part and the guitar.
Yeah!
And just tore it up.
And you know what? I think that she was so full that she sang her ass all the way backstage.
Yeah.
She was walking off stage still singing.
Right. She just...
I was like, y'all gonna turn off her mic.
She came to get it.
Yes!
They had two little black girls that Beyonce signed, and they was killing it. I never heard of them before. Chloe and Holly.
Oh, them two little girls was getting it.
Had to look them up. Anthony Anderson made a great joke. he said his latest video had 110 million views. Ironically, that's the same number of white women Kyrie had on his yacht.
Oh.
That was so good.
Oh.
Ray J and Prince is still together? That was the biggest shock of the evening. And that was the last tweet I had.
That was the biggest shock of the evening.
I was like, this is a coup right here. What's happening? Prince is together? Like, how?
This is in real time.
Right. That's for everybody that won. Best female artist, of course, is Beyonce.
Mm-hmm.
Best male pop artist, R&B pop, was Bryson Tiller. Best group, Drake and Future.
There ain't no group.
Yeah. Best collaboration, Rihanna and Drake work. Which beat Nicki Minaj and Beyonce Feeling Myself. I thought that was 2 years ago.
Right.
That was this year? Hmm. Best male hip hop artist was, of course, Drake. Beat out Kendrick, Kanye, J. Cole, Future, Fetty Wap. Best female hip hop artist was Nicki Minaj. Who has won that shit like 17 times in a row at this point.
Right. Unless somebody comes through and crush the buildings.
Video of the year was, of course, Beyonce's Formation.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, let's be real. Nothing shut it down like Formation.
Come on.
I still remember that day. You know what I mean? That Saturday.
Right. I mean, you know what? And see, Beyonce be knowing our Lord and Savior Beyonce. She knew she had to give us enough time to get home so we could see it like everybody else.
Right. You know.
And we sat there for hours. And it was funny. Roger was like, I'm gonna play it again. I was looking like, do you think I'm objecting?
Right. I was like, sorry.
Because if you don't, I will.
I know it's been an hour and a half, but I just need one more time.
Right. It was like, oh, if you was to turn something else out, you know, I would watch it on my laptop, like, you know me.
Yeah. Yeah, I see what Big Freedia gonna say this time.
The same thing, and I was here for it.
Director X won video the director of the year. I don't know what he directed. Best new, or he or she directed. I don't even know what the gender of Director X is. Best new artist was Bryson Tiller.
Who is Bryson Tiller?
A singer that makes, he basically makes the songs that emotionally abusive light skinned dudes listen to, you know?
Aww.
He's like Drake, but only singing pretty much. But, you know, a lot of, fuckboy anthems, you know, getting in women's heads. Dr. Bobby Jones, Best Gospel Inspirational Award with the Kirk Franklin. We saw that.
Mm-hmm.
Taraji, we talked about that. Michael B. Jordan. Young Stars Award, Amanda Stenberg won. The other people were Salento, Quvenzhané Wallace, Willow Smith, and Yara Shahadi. Best Movie was Straight Out of Compton, beat out Dope, Creed, Concussion, Beast of No Nation. Now, how did that shit win? But Michael B. Jordan got Actor of the Year. Interesting. Serena Williams got Sportswoman of the Year. Stephen Curry got Sportsman of the Year. LeBron James showed up to accept on his behalf.
Apparently so.
And Beyonce got Coca-Cola's Viewer Choice Award with Formation, Centric Award, Formation. Best International Act, Africa, Black Coffee South Africa, was a winner. It had two of winners. And Wizkid, Nigeria, won. Best International Act, UK, Skepta, won. Never heard of them. And Lifetime Achievement Award winner was Samuel Jackson.
Yeah, we ain't talk. You want to talk about his speech?
Jackson's speech?
Yeah, we did. Go see ahead. His speech. Yeah, his speech was pretty cool. I
just enjoyed Spike Lee looking like Jarvis Tetch. Oh, go ahead.
Yeah, he looked like the dude, the purple dude from Charlie in the Chocolate Factory.
Yes, he looked like Charlie. I don't know. Willy Wonka.
Yes, he did.
And you know, the viewership rose over 2015 even. So they got higher viewership even with Game of Thrones. But go ahead. You were saying the speech, Samuel
That's
Jackson.
That's a good thing. You know, and the thing about Samuel L. Jackson, they said, I think $4 billion, all the movies he's ever been in made, like over his lifetime. And he's been in like everything, literally every. There's a lot of shit me and Roger talked about that he's been in that when the credits run, his name ain't in the credits.
Mm-hmm.
He just in it. And I am here for it.
Yeah. Well, he, I like that he thanked his agents and shit. He was like, look, niggas, this cool. I ain't gonna give you a Jesse Williams speech. What I will do is thank my people that get me this money.
He was like the accountants to be sure I can stand up here and do this.
Right.
And he even had jokes. He was like, y'all niggas better get out and vote. Don't be like them people over there in Europe.
Right. So, yeah, so that was it, man. Wow, that took way longer than I thought it would.
No, it normally does. Normally when we do this, is the whole show anyway.
Yeah.
I mean, if you want to cover something, we can.
I don't know if I should say all this shit for Wednesday or what.
Do you have anything about the awards show or any articles?
Nah. I mean, well, of course, Brexit happened. You know what? Maybe we just want to do the games today. We'll just skip those. We'll just kind of talk about some news. Cause I did want to work our way through some of this.
Okay.
So Britain voted to exit the European Union, which is like monetarily, how do we have like the euro, and it was supposed to be this currency that like brought all these nations together over there. So they decided to, they had a vote and people voted, I think it was like 53% voted to leave the European Union. Now Greece did this before and Greece's economy was fucked.
Tanked.
Yeah, like I don't even know if it's recovered or not. I just know it was fucked up after they did this. And apparently because this has been tied to Muslims and brown people immigrating into Europe, and somehow this vote was seen as a vote to keep immigrants out of the country and to make people go back home, a lot of people voted for it.
Yeah,
so racism
home,
was the
right?
reason this won.
Hmm? Yeah, so they're going back home, but also you devastating your money too and your economy and shit like that.
Yeah, the referendum will ask voters whether the country should remain a member of the European Union, the lead of the European Union, reasons for and against. Those who favor leaving argue that the European Union has changed enormously over the last four decades with regard to the size and the reach of its bureaucracy, diminishing British influence and sovereignty. Those who want to stay say that a medium-sized island needs to be part of a larger block of like-minded countries to have real influence and security in the world, and that leaving would be economically costly. So yeah, they voted to leave. It was leave versus remain. And some people were like, I didn't think it would win. That's why I went and voted to leave. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, apparently.
Yeah, they started talking to people and some of the people was like, what did we vote on again? Wait a minute. What is the EU? You was like, nigga, you live over here. You should know this.
And it's so real, like, campaigning had to stop for several days because Joe Cox, a member of parliament, was shot and killed outside a library in her district in Birstall, England, last week. With referendum just days away, campaigning was immediately suspended as a gesture of respect, and it resumed on Sunday. Miss Cox, 41, was a vocal supporter of Britain remaining in the bloc. When the suspect in her killing, Thomas Mayer, was asked in court for his name, he answered, "My name is Death to Traitors, Freedom for Britain." Right? That's like some fucking, like, that's historical shit. That's like shit you see in a documentary. A person killed a politician over this.
Irrational. Racism is irrational and goddamn illogical.
You know, for me personally, I'm a person that's normally on the side that don't kill people. It's just the way I'm wired, guys. But of course, you know, I think all their markets closed in the red again today. So,
didn't they? I don't know if it's true or not, but didn't they say people was like, "Hey, can we vote again?"
Well, oh no, they can't. The vote is final for the foreseeable future.
Right.
If they vote to leave, there will be an initial 2-year negotiation with the European Union about the terms of divorce, which is unlikely to be amicable. Negotiation will decide Britain's relationship with the bloc. The major issues will surround trade. If Britain wants to remain in the European Union's common market, the world's largest trading bloc with 500 million people, Brussels is expected to exact a steep price, in particular to discourage other countries from leaving. So, who knows, man? That is the wildest shit ever, though.
Right, and I'm looking like, yeah, dog.
Mm-hmm.
United States, get your ass together.
Yeah. Yep. Kanye West had his famous video. He put out his video for Famous. And it was like a 10-minute video. I know it was on Tidal.
Yeah, I saw you streaming. I was like, what the fuck is this?
Right. And in it was like a sculpture, a picture type thing. It was more, I think it was a sculpture, mm-hmm. where he had like Taylor Swift, Donald Trump, Rihanna, Chris Brown, like naked, basically.
Bill Cosby,
Kim and Kim. Yeah, him and Kim, of course. Caitlyn Jenner. Like, it's just I think George W. Bush was in it. Anna Wintour, Donald Trump, Rihanna, Chris Brown, Taylor Swift, Kanye West, Kim Kardashian, Ray J, Amber Rose, Caitlyn Jenner, Bill Cosby. And they were all nude. It was kind of I think he tweeted, can somebody sue me already? # I wait. So, a lot of people had a lot to say about it.
Yeah, they did. I was just confused.
Yeah, well, for me, as a person that really knows and understands art and can actually critique it, unlike most people, I just ignored most of the people's responses because what the fuck do they know? That's cute that you thought you understood it, but I'm the only person that can actually understand it. Because according to the rules of the internet, only one person can be right. And the sooner the rest of those people realize it's me, the better off we can be. Right? So, he put this out and, I felt that it reminded me of Donatello's Purple Period, in the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. And there were also, of course, Da Vinci's Taking a Nap era of 1742 to 1743. People in bed taking a nap was like his thing, and I'm glad to see Kanye was inspired. It also reminded me of the Sistine Chapel. Not the roof, guys, not the ceiling. I'm talking about, there's a painting out back by the bathrooms. Some people sleeping in the bed. It reminded me of that. I think it's called Nap Time in Repose. And this is a genius, an artist that can only be understood by those of us in the art community. There were shades of Van Gogh throughout the art exhibit. It was more like Van Gogh's naked people on a bed face, so that was, it was right before he went crazy, so it was good to know that, because a lot of people were just completely confused because they just didn't understand, which is, it was cute to see Twitter try to compare it to other paintings and sculptures and shit, and it was like, okay, you must have watched the Da Vinci Code or some shit. Come on, guys, why don't you leave this to the experts, as I always say. All right, it's a little bit like some finger painting by Roderick Morrow, 1988. I like the way he stayed within the lines.
Like that year, good year.
Good, it was a good year. I used a lot of watercolors that year. So good for Kanye. As always, people tried to break it down and talk about it for ad nauseum, and it really didn't matter.
it wasn't like it was new music. Just fucking calm down. Oh, Game of Thrones will not be affected by the Brexit.
Oh, so they film over there?
Yeah, they film over there, and it won't be affected. So we can stop caring in America. Okay, guys? Everybody okay with that? Do you kiss your dog on the mouth?
Mm-mm.
Well, if you do, you could be getting a mouthful of nasty worm-causing bacteria. That's right. Some people say, well, a dog's mouth is cleaner than a human's. To which I say, which humans are you fucking hanging around, dog? You got to get some better class of friends.
Y'all do know they do ain't they on shit, right?
Salmonella and E. coli and they breath and you, this what you eating? This what you kissing? Dogs eat diarrhea and vomit? But you cool with that. Okay. But yeah, apparently canines can also transmit toxocariasis, which is a parasite that can cause cysts to develop in the brain and the eyes, leading to blindness.
Holy shit.
Yeah, experts can see that children who grow up in houses with pets are less likely to develop asthma, allergies, and wheezing. If you have a dog, you will be doing yourself a lot of good. Studies show that interactions with animals can decrease stress in humans as well as encouraging exercise and easing loneliness. But yeah, you be careful over there making out with y'all dogs, man. Mm-mm. Okay. You don't know what's in that. You don't know where that dog's mouth been.
Literally.
Khalil Kweli got accused of racism by a white dude. That's a rapper.
Uh-oh.
Mm-hmm. The rapper's name is Diabolik. They had a growing feud on Twitter that started over white rappers and their opposing views on racism. Apparently, it began when the Wu-Tang affiliate named Remedy, which Wu-Tang still got affiliates in 2016.
Apparently
so. Like, nigga, how do you get an affiliate degree from Wu in 2016, bruh?
I don't know.
Like, that 1-800 connection couldn't call them?
Phoenix? Nope.
Gotta be something better to do with your life than this. Anyway, he asked Talib Kweli if he was pro-black, racist, or both. Diabolik weighed in during the back and forth over the matter. Things got a little tense when Talib labeled Diabolik a bitch.
Oh.
Yeah, apparently he was talking to Diabolik, who goes by Diabolik Hip Hop on Twitter. And he said, Talib says, if a white rapper asks a black rapper if he's pro-black, racist, or both, he's saying I'm racist for being pro-black. And dude responded and said, I've been checking this all day. I can't keep my mouth shut anymore. You generalize entirely too much and need to check yourself. This thing got a check mark on Twitter. My God. What is wrong with this platform?
Ah!
And then Talib said, retweet where I ever did that once, bitch. Retweet one example of me classifying every white rapper in one category. And dude said, did you call me a bitch? Classic Twitter deflection. I mean, no one likes being called a bitch, but you didn't answer the question, brother.
Nope.
You accuse me of bigotry with no proof. You getting called a bitch every time. Remedy Wu responded, I think you mean whackness, and I fear no man, let alone a racist anti-Semite. Now, where did that come from? When people criticize Zionists, they mean Jews. You're talking anti-Semitism. That's a quote from LLK. Hashtag facts. You're an anti-Semite. And he used the wrong you're. Talib went and penned an essay on the subject at medium.com and mentioned Remedy and Diabolik by name, which did not go over well with Diabolik. Apparently, Diabolik released a song called You Tried It. Wait, hold on. No, released a song called In Inequality. Talib Kweli this.
Y'all thought they gave you fair warning, bitch. You should have listened.
Well, now you call him a bitch. Seems a bit hypocritical if you ask moi. But of course you did not ask moi. Wait, how come this won't just play again? I don't understand SoundCloud at all.
Mm-mm.
Like, now I got to go all the way to SoundCloud to hear the rest of this song? Nigga. Who designed this?
You know you done fucked up, right? Diabolic.
One, two, three. Rest in peace, our lip quality. Crying like make it stop. That shit isn't hip hop. You hoe.
I did some research. Rent your piece, it needs work. In medium.com, the place you buy your t-shirts. I had a knee-jerk reaction while you cry and tremble petrified. Not only do you generalize, you lie in general.
Wait, did he just try to make a joke out of wearing medium t-shirts? Okay. Just the woo now.
Down to my potential cause my skin is white. Shit of brightens your superpower. Making sense of kryptonite. But don't doubt the fact I'll show up at your crib tonight. And hit you with a right for each thing you wrote I didn't like. Online picking fights, the pen attack addressed it. Not for me, they stepped in so this bitch wouldn't get his head split. Then you said if I was sorry, you'd apologize. Followed by a convo about the boys been by the sodomized. Do not deny the truth, ho, you asked for evidence. And that's the precedent you set when tech was at your residence. Now I'm addressing it to fill the part that's missing. And the part you skipped and all that kickstarter shit you started kicking. Disregard the fiction. I'm not the only artist living to fuck a few waters up. Doesn't mean they aren't shipping. I've given back to this culture, and it's clear the only vultures that appeared circle over your career. Yeah, you popped off once. Stock dropped off, jumped so severe your whole career's become a sophomore slump. Chump, I walk through crowded sidewalks and beds.
How can a dude that literally has never been anything talk down to Talib Kweli though? I don't get it.
Stop, bump shoulders, knock this punk over just to get by. Then I meet Swae Sever at the back bar, the Black Star Show, wondering where the fuck the blacks are. So how you go on Twitter with the nerve to act hard? Your crowd's the same as one in Talladega watching NASCAR. You act hard, as far as rhyming the beat, you're too busy. Find the Khalees to hide behind when there's beef, you're too busy. With the scene telling lies in your tweets, if you a real Mr. Green, you do it live in the streets. Well, I make sure the prophecy still holds true.
Okay, first of all, this is too long. Sorry, buddy, I had to cut y'all. If you're gonna be talking shit about somebody, wrap it up, B. Like, nobody wanna listen to 5 minutes of a nigga we never heard of talk shit about one dude. Like, you gotta come way harder than that. That shit should have been about 2 minutes tops. One verse, maybe. You know, also, it felt like you were yelling or something. I don't understand. Now, Talib, I'm trying to tell you that you need it. Like, come on, dog. It's not happening. Talib also replied.
Who steals from fans for Kickstarter money?
Whoa.
Who made a diss record about me?
Whoa, who does that?
Now, I don't know who that is.
Who does that?
They say I rap too fast. I gotta slow it down so these fucking troglodytes can understand me. Let me tell you a little story about a fuckboy named Diabolic. Big baby, talks a lot of shit. I call him Diabolic. Trolling me on Twitter, this bitch is trying to get his life acknowledged. Making all them threats will get you wet. Don't be hyperbolic. Yeah.
By the way, I already know some people are gonna be like, man, he shouldn't even said nothing back to him. I don't believe in that. I'm glad he said something, because I already know people gonna try to pull the he above this. Mm-mm. Don't ever be above it. Fuck that.
Yeah. Some of these white rappers be out of pocket. Black rappers talk oppression and here they come trying to stop it. Promise, I'm on another level, I'm way above that garbage. I'm about to show these fucking devils who the true goddess. Now here come Diabolic on his usual whole shit.
See,
I tried to Google one of this loser's songs, but he got no hits.
Wow.
Focus.
Someone on the comments that said, you just lost all your white fans.
Then address me all properly as a legend.
What'd you say, baby?
I said all of them.
All of them.
Legend. When you get accustomed to privilege, equality feels like oppression, don't it? Too many people focused on a little shit. Illiterate. To quality bring the light like a villain.
Get it.
So eloquent. Intelligence will make you feel irrelevant. Especially when I just begun the story just developed.
It's from Brooklyn.
Yeah, you tried it, bitch. But you failed, though. You try to hide it, but we can see that you frail, though.
Now, see, this is a song. You got a chorus. You got a refrain. The verse was just 16 bars. This is a song now. You know what I'm saying? The other dude, she was a long-ass essay of just, and hey, Talib, you did this, and one time you got some shoes, and they was a little too tight, and you be ordering your shirts, and they medium. It's like, hey, dog, like, this is not music. Like, if you gonna diss somebody, make my head bob.
Try to fight it, bitch. but you real slow. So when you get enlightened, that shit hit you like a real blow. You dishonest with a stale ass delivery. You should spit harder. Give the fans their money back. You a homeless rapper with a Kickstarter. A crowd fun for the people. You crowd fun for your ego. Your bullshit excuses about back orders is feeble. Ho, what you nervous, man? You brought up me and Don Lemon and Ferguson. I was in the streets with the people. No media, no advertisements. No news cameras when the sun went down on Canfield and Fluorescent. Right. You say you hip-hop, but you never speak about the blacks and cops is murdering. Crick, but let a black rapper.
That is true, though. A lot of white people, that should be the theme of the show today. White people coming in being like, I love this black shit. Some black people got killed. I gotta go. I'll be back. Let me know when it's okay to come back.
Yeah, let me know when we're talking about other shit.
Yeah.
So I can steal it again.
Look, man, black love is hard. You know, it's hard, dog. If you're not, especially if you're not in it, it's hard, dog. You're gonna have to take some lumps. It is what it is, man. And like Macklemore showed up to the march, got roasted, but I'm so glad that dude showed up.
Yeah, he did. He went to Ferguson, didn't he?
Yeah, and yeah. I'm not saying I'm glad because I'm like, it's just so good that a white person cared when they didn't have to. I mean, I'm glad because it solidified to me that it's not some passing bullshit, and then next week he's gonna come out with a country music song. Like,
come on, that hard, you know, rock.
Show up. You know, I would listen. I already know how people have their minds made up about certain people. If Iggy showed up, I'd be like, good. Cause that's all it is to me. It's like, yo, if you care, some people are never gonna believe you care. It is what it is. The divide is too strong. But show up. Cause nobody gonna believe you if you don't. Right. So show up. You have nothing to lose by caring. And maybe some kid that wouldn't listen to us will listen to you. And that's really all it is. It's a real simple conversation. At any rate, though, Talib, yeah. I got to give a battle to him, Karen. Who would you give it to, Talib or the first dude, Diabolik?
Talib.
Yeah, that was pretty.
Oh, and I didn't know this. I don't know if it's true or not. They were saying the BET Awards was hosted on Nickelodeon.
Oh, nigga, it was on every Viacom.
Okay, across so the board.
Like, I was in line today, and... I had on my Harriet Tubb. Which one I got? Rosa Parks, my Nah shirt.
Mm-hmm.
Nah, Rosa Parks, 1955. And this little white girl was reading my shirt. And I could tell she watched Nickelodeon. I could tell. She was looking she's like, you woke. I said, I know, little white girl. Let's talk about love. We've been talking about marriage and love all this time.
Okay.
What about Japanese love?
What about it? I know that they can get weird sometimes.
A married Japanese man find, well, that's racist. A married Japanese man found love. Now he's married, but he found love. How, Karen? With a sex doll. Mm-hmm. Not with his wife. Not with another woman he was cheating on his wife with, but with a sex doll. And he takes that doll shopping on romantic days out, and he even bathes it.
Well, what is there for the wife to do?
I don't know.
Why am I even here then?
Senji Nakajima claims he enjoys the perfect relationship with Saori, even taking the dummy out shopping to buy his fancy outfits, despite the fact that he is married to a woman with whom he has two children. Meet your stepmom, kids. Oh, don't squeeze it too tight. She'll pop. Hold on.
Don't pull the wig off.
He's 61 years old. He lives with the life-size doll in his apartment in Tokyo, where he enjoys a physical relationship with it. But he claims he is happy because his plastic companion isn't after only money. Who hurt him, Karen? Isn't that the question?
Somebody hurt him.
Like, who hurt him? To make him be like, at least this bitch don't want me for my money. This the only woman I can trust because she's plastic and have no needs. She's a perfect woman. She never talks or has opinions.
Right.
Who hurt me? I don't know. He originally bought the sex doll as a sexual comfort when he was working away from his wife.
Is his wife his ex-wife now and she got the two kids, because apparently he don't need them no more in his life.
I don't know. Do you have sex doll kids now? Can she get pregnant?
I don't know. Balloon size kids,
right? Little cabbage patch dolls come out. He first got it for sexual purposes, imaging that it was his first ever girlfriend in fantasy scenarios. I guess they meant imagining. However, after Saori helped to fill Senji's lonely evenings, he began to develop stronger feelings towards the dummy a few months in and started having a relationship with it, saying it was more than just a doll.
Oh, did she consent to this?
Can dummies consent?
I don't know.
They all stupid.
I don't know, but you have a relationship. There needs to be some consent.
I feel like if you call his dummy a dummy in his face, he'll get real mad.
Oh, y'all don't have problems.
Like, look, man, can you move your dummy out of the seat? Who are you? We don't use the D word in this house.
If you don't get away with that steak knife, you might pop up.
Senji says that he discovered that his plastic companion had an actual original personality, and the pair formed a bond, enjoying days out together as well as romantic evenings. What is this, mannequin?
I don't know. What kind of original personality does she have?
Right? Like, how did he discover it? Does it come alive? Oh,
saying nothing means it has a personality?
I guess so.
He doing all the work? What is he talking about here? Right? I mean, because he fucks her, so that means you got to move her, twist her head, put her face down there to suck your dick. You're the only functioning human being in a relationship.
Yeah, let me guess. Her personality is like, I always love sucking dick. It's part of my personality. It's the best.
Never complain.
Best thing in the world is getting fucked by this 61-year-old businessman in this tiny-ass apartment.
All her hoes are always ready. She never tell me no.
Yeah, this is how I get
headaches.
It.
Who got time for headaches?
I just hope that black dude Hollywood from Mannequin shows up.
Ah,
starts talking shit. but he in love.
I might need to check on that baby doll. Sis, are you okay?
He says she never betrays. Not after only money. I'm tired of. I think you meant you okay, sis, but yes. She never betrays, not after only money. I'm tired of modern rational humans. They are heartless. He says she is like a human being.
She heartless too. Literally heartless.
She's literally heartless.
Right. What are we talking about here?
He says she's like a human being, taking her on days out, moving her around by sitting her in a wheelchair.
Yeah, it's almost like you have somebody crippled. I mean, not to go against it, but you know, because you got to do everything for her.
Right, he chooses her outfits that she wears in the morning. I like how they put that in the article, like someone else would choose. Right. Sometimes she picks her own. Like, of course he chooses. It's a dummy.
Right. Nobody wants to be crippled, but it's one of those things where it's like he transports everywhere. He uses it in the wheelchair. I mean, I'm so confused.
The part that scares me the most is this one picture of him putting the head on the doll. Cause you could never do that to your real wife.
I know some people probably wish they could.
Right?
No.
Let me just pop her head off real quick. Take this necklace off.
You know what? My biggest question: how many of these models have you had to go through?
I don't know. What if he gets caught? What's he gonna get caught cheating with next? A fleshlight?
Yeah.
There's somebody else. I'm sorry, Sarah.
I know, because the thing is, sounds like you. Fucking the doll, you carrying it around, and all the so odds are, you know what? Seeing this picture of him detaching the head, he probably just replaced the parts.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, because I'm pretty sure you're gonna have wear and tear on the doll.
Mm-hmm. Oh my god! So
it's
yeah,
like, you bringing in another vagina? This is the third asshole this week. Come on,
you are going through these like gangbusters, sir.
Right.
Tearing them up like flapjacks.
Come on, I have to order another piece.
For me, she is more than a doll. She's not just a silicone rubber. She needs much help, but she is my perfect partner who shares precious moments with me and enriches my life. This costs 4,000 euro, and the trend has been increasing across Japan.
Yeah, and my thing is, nothing wrong with sex dolls, but most people know that they're dolls and they don't.
I think it is something wrong with a sex doll when you leave your wife and kids for. I'm sorry.
Yes.
Something wrong with you.
Yes. No, yes, but just the sex doll, using it for what it's designed for, there's nothing wrong with that.
Well, what if it's designed to be a gold digger?
Well, then he gonna be in trouble.
You know?
No, the sex doll. upgrade. She's now a gold digger. He just formatted her.
Oh, man.
Oh, reformatted her.
Right. I don't know.
I want some of them Jimmy Choo's.
I just imagine him sitting around.
I'm gonna freak you.
Oh, come here, sex doll.
I'm gonna freak you.
Girl, you looking good over there, that plastic. Let me pull out my Windex and go to work.
Oh, does it talk back like Siri? You got to plug it up to your computer.
It can't talk. That's why it's so perfect.
Oh, okay. Okay. So
you want to do anal tonight? Say nothing if you're okay with it.
Okay. So they hadn't upgraded it where, cause Siri gets sassy sometimes. So they ain't upgraded
it. It doesn't talk at all. There's no computer in it.
No vocal cords or nothing.
And he's just fucking a plastic sex doll, Karen. That's it.
Oh, he need upgrade.
There's nothing to upgrade. There's no computer in it. It's not a cyborg. It's not a robot. It's a doll. It is a plastic piece of, it is a doll.
Oh, so we keeping away all sharp objects. So what happened if you puncture her?
It's not inflatable, but I'm sure if you punch, it's, you know, there's no air in it.
It's not I'm so confused.
The men who had these dolls have been spotted transporting them around town, treat them to a movie, a go. Nigga, you bought two tickets? No. No. Your children probably eating ramen noodles. And your ass out here buying two tickets to Transformers 5.
Oh, so it's like somebody says like a big rubber band. So it's like a big ass rubber ball, but it's shaped like a doll.
There's no air inside of it, so it's not even like a rubber ball. It's just it's like a mannequin almost.
Can you imagine him while he's walking up there? Yes, sir. I would like two tickets. Don't you mean one? No. I would like two tickets.
Me and the lady.
And don't you insult her again.
Yeah. I know you see me standing here with my girl. Are you about to just act disrespectful like this?
You know, somebody be like, ma'am, blink twice if you need help.
They don't walk in the park. Now I'm assuming one person walks.
Strolls in the park, cause right. You pushing her, baby. She ain't walking.
There's a
he wants that human show we watched. That human show where
there are over 50 kinds of these dolls on the market. Wu states that the designs can vary, including the touch of skin feel. There are some customers in the country who see their dolls as life partners. According to Japan Times, Chinese sex toy market is estimated up to 100 billion yen or 10 billion euro per year by the business-to-business sex toy platform ChinaSexQ.com.
Oh, it's serious.
Looks like he has to carry her everywhere, too.
Yeah, of course, because she can't move herself.
Yeah, this is bad, man. He also owns several varieties of wigs for her, too.
And I might be wrong, but a lot of this might stem from the shortage of women over there.
I don't know. I feel like this turned into racism because this man already had a woman. He had a wife and kids and left them for a sex doll.
Yes, but
he didn't have a shortage of women. He had a woman too many.
The real one. But the $10 billion market, okay, is more than just him. Purchasing this. He ain't the one buying it.
Okay. I don't know what the sex doll market is in America, to be honest.
Oh, probably pretty high too.
I have no idea. Men will fuck anything.
Yeah. Like,
you know how men will fuck anything? I was thinking about this the other day, and I didn't know where to put it on the show or anything, but a glory hole would never work the other way.
No.
You know what I'm saying? Like, we have entire genre of porn dedicated to, there's a hole in the wall and dudes just walk up and stick their dick in it, like whatever's on the other side,
I'm rolling the dice,
take care of me please. You know, that shit would never work the opposite, where it's like, I'm a dude, I'm gonna stick my dick through a hole, women gonna line up around the block to share this dick. Mm-mm. Like, that shit would never work that way. It's no. Like,
Men will fuck anything, man. We can't.
There's a, it's a hole, it's wet.
Right.
You be like, come on, dog.
A mouth is a mouth. Like, we have no fucking.
Right.
Who are we to pretend to just. I think we just need to hit control alt delete on 2016. Just,
the whole year, I'm with you.
You know, just keep the BET Awards and Beyonce's album and give everything else back. It's been a terrible, terrible year. Britain tripping. You know, people talking about, I'm moving to Britain if Trump get elected. Now they got to have a new plan. Now where you moving?
Nah, God, Claire, where you moving now?
Britain races. I remember when they're like, I remember when chimney sweeps went in white and came out black. Make what? Britain great again.
That for real?
Yeah. That's how they feel. They're like, they used to go in white and then come out black. Now they just go in black.
And I come out blacker.
Right. Hate these motherfuckers. All right, man. No sore ratchetness today. You guys got a long show about nothing.
That's true. And also, before we forget, I put up on social media pics of this month's Loot Crate Dystopia, if I'm pronouncing it right.
Dystopia?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, and so I got some cool stuff that I put up that we're going to be giving away.
Yeah, Loot Crate sent us some stuff, and we're going to give it away to people. We're going to find a way to do it. Whether on the feedback show or something like that, we'll find a way to give it away, man. So, probably Saturday, be on the lookout for that. Maybe we'll play some games in the chat room or something, and we'll mail people some of this free shit we got from Loot Crate, man. Think you guys will really enjoy that. Mm-hmm. All right. No sore ratchets, no nothing else. That's it. It's late. I've been podcasting since 6, mm-hmm. and I'm ready to do some other things. You guys have a good night. We'll be back tomorrow at 6:30 with Mel and Justin to recap the finale of Game of Thrones. Until tomorrow, I love you.
I love you too. Mwah. Ah.